You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
K-E-A-D-K-P, K-E-A-D-K-P, K-F-Y-C-A.
Go right ahead. This is K-E-A-D-K-P. I'm on my GA-5SHT, over. And I'm on an HT right now. This is K-E-A-D-K-P, over to you.
Oh man, that video sounds good, man. Yeah, that sounds real good, man. So do. Yeah, that radio sounds good. K-E-A-D-K-P, K-I-4-H-T-A, back to you.
Scanner was on, so I just cut it off. Yeah, I'm about 3 miles, 3 or 4 miles from that repeater. I'm back to you, over.
Victor Echo 3, Charlie, Charlotte, India.
Charlie, India, K4HTA.
Yeah, I'm from Windsor, Ontario, Canada, and I'm using for an HT, over to you, D360i. And what radiosity do you have, D360i?
This is K-E-A-D-K-P. Yeah, I was talking to a ham buddy. He was on Echolink, and we were doing a radio check. But we're actually talking on Echolink right now. Over. I'll be going back over to Echolink. This is K-E-A-K-P. It's good to hear you out there, but I'll pass it back to you for a cookie. Over.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm not on Echolink. I'm on the regular repeater using an HC, so I hear you loud and clear. V3CCI.
Okay, real good. Yeah, I use a lot of HTs. I'm over here in Warren, Michigan, and I believe I'm about 4 miles from that repeater. So that's one of the repeaters I can get into because I'm near that repeater. I'm also near the Warren repeater. The Warren repeater, 443.550. I'm about 3 to 4 miles from that one, too. So those are the two repeaters I can get into, and I like using HTs a lot. Over.
Yeah, I'm using the 442.175 machine. I can get into that one near my location, so, yeah, B3CCR, over to you.
Okay, sounds real good. What's your name? I didn't catch your name. My name is Charles. Over.
The name here is Brad, Bravo Romeo Alpha Delta.
Okay there, Brad. Good hearing you out there. I'll monitor this channel until I go to bed. But have you talked to a fellow out there to use it to be on that frequency? I think it was 442.175. Sometimes Jay be out there, or sometimes Lester and other hams be out there. Do you ever remember talking to them or heard of them? Over.
Say again.
Yes, have you heard or have you talked to some hams that be on, I think you said it was 442.175? I was just asking, have you ever heard of a ham out there named Jay or a ham operator named Lester? Have you ever heard of them? They sometimes be on that frequency. Over.
J-N-A-W-J-L. Yeah, I've talked to him for a long time. Yep, I've heard of him.
Oh, okay, okay, real good. Yeah, because he told me to look and see if I had that in my HP. Okay, hey, look, Brad, I'm going to have to cut it short with you. Good hearing out there. I got to get back to my buddy. He's standing by on Echolink. I want to let him know I'm still out here. We're good hearing you out here. I'll be monitoring this repeater. I will be monitoring this repeater until I fall asleep. So if you're in there a little bit later, come on back. And if I'm woke, we'll have a little conversation. This is K-E-A-D-K-T. I'll pass it back to you. Over.
Okay, Charles, nice hearing you out there. 7-3, I'll get you back to your, what you gotta do there. So, 7-3, KDH, I think it's JKP, I believe it is. D3CCI, off and clear, listening.
Okay, Brad, and good hearing you out there. And I'll let Jay know that I spoke to you. As I mentioned, I'll be out here monitoring this room until I fall asleep. Take it easy. This is the name is Charles. The call sign is Kilo Echo 8 Delta Kilo Papa. That's Kilo Echo 8 Delta Kilo Papa. Back to you there. 73 is over.
Yep, 7-3 there. K-E-A-D-K-P, this is for you to reach the CI listening.
Okay, take it easy, Brad. We'll talk to you again. I'll be monitoring this room for a while. K-E-A-D-K-P, clear for now.
You're connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network.
Good morning, KE8RUH.
Good morning.
You are very rough, sir. I didn't get all of that.
Give me 1 minute,
NATO. Alright, I'll be standing by. KE8RUH.
Kilo Fox 8, Delta Golf Zulu. Just curious if I'm making it into the repeater. KF8DGZ.
You're making it in just fine.
All right, well, thank you, and good morning. I've been, got my HT in the car today, but I got a good antenna on the roof, so nice to know I can make it from here. So thank you very much, and again, this is KF8DGZ, and I'll say 73. Thanks for the signal report.
No problem.
Did you know that Magmon antennas work better when they're on the roof and not on the floor of the back seat?
You had it on the floor in the back seat?
Yeah, my wife always takes it down so she can park in the garage, and I just forgot to put it back up. And they're like, you sound like crap. I'm like, wait a minute, I never put the antenna on.
Yeah, that could cause a problem.
Anyways, I didn't expect to wake up to this winter wonderland. Like,
yeah, the surface roads are covered. 94 and 696 were not covered, so that was nice. That was running at normal speed. And to be honest, everybody's probably going a little bit faster than they should on these surface roads.
My road was untouched, but that's not new. And yeah, I'm cruising. I'm just now getting out of 53 at Fort Worth gas station. But, people are driving like it's just a normal day. I think they're comfortable with the snow again. They're sick of it.
Yeah, and I would argue if everyone's comfortable, there's a lot of people that are too comfortable. There's a lot of people that aren't capable of driving in it.
Well, considering 8 out of 10 drivers probably should have a license, I think I can agree with you.
Sorry, I'm dealing with these brainiac drivers right now, so... what's going on? What happened last week? Anything fun?
Not to my knowledge. Just another grind in the winter. A whole household started getting sick around, like, Wednesday. And then, of course, you know, I've got it now. Thankfully not as bad as them, but, damn, you can't catch a break. It's not the flu, it's just cold garbage. Just another week, man. Not a whole lot going on. What about you? You said you went up north, but you couldn't fish or something?
I went up north to ski, but there was, we skied Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. We were supposed to stay up till Thursday, but there was a big storm coming through, and it was going to be rain and ice, not snow. So we got the heck out of Dodge while we could. Ended up coming home Tuesday night, which was a bummer, but we made the best of it while we could, and I still had a few days off, so finally back to the grind, going into the office now.
Well, it is a bummer, but you don't want to be losing down an ice slope, so I think that's probably the right call, and might as well take the time off if you already got the time off. Welcome back. Science is real. Oh, it was 6 o'clock last night when we were eating dinner. I looked outside. It was still light out. So, a sign of things to come.
Yeah, I was less worried about the skiing and more worried about being iced into a hotel room, which would have been a total bummer. And, yeah, it was like, I went somewhere last night at like 6:12, and it was still light out, and I was like, it's happening. This is great. So, there is light at the end of the tunnel, if you will.
I swear I can count on one hand how many times I've hit this light now since I moved, and it seems like every time I'm in the, on the radio now, I hit the light.
I'm so sick of traffic lights, it's insane. They re-timed some by my house, and they are miserable to get through. It's almost impossible.
My shoes got four, and I swear I hit every single one.
Hey, I'm about to hop out and get some gas. I'll be back in a few. KE8RUH.
Alright, good timing. Let me get through this town here. NAVBS.
KE8KSL.
Good morning.
Good morning. I didn't think I'd be getting into this one. I thought I was on a listen-only one passing through. Thought I'd tee it up, see if I could get in. I'm on 127 north, almost to 69. Going to be jumping on 69 east.
Well, you're in and you're solid.
All right. righty, we appreciate it. Yeah, so it's a little staticky, a little bakety on my end. And so I wasn't sure how I was getting back out, but boy, roads are a little slick. It's a little windy. It gets bumped all over the place. KE8JXL on my way back to Perry.
KE8JXL from NATBF. Yeah, we've got a little bit of wind down here, but not too bad, but I know they're calling for it. Just some ice buildup, but roads are moving.
The same group of guys I hear in the morning, I'll have a scan and like Telegraph and all out in the Detroit Inkster area.
Yeah, the typical group is in about a 30-mile radius on the east side over here, maybe a little bit bigger than that.
Very good, very good. Yeah, I usually just stay on the Lansing one, C-Mark, or one of the Lansing ones, but I've programmed a bunch of them and kind of been exploring a little bit late, as of late.
I don't even know what's out there, really. I know it's huge, though, and I think it goes all the way up to Sheboygan.
K8RUH.
And he's back. K8JXL is out here as well, I think. He's mobile and he's trying different repeaters, so he might have dropped out, but anyway, on the road again.
Dude, it's cold out there. It's like winter again.
K8JXL, yeah, still here. Having a hard time hearing because I've got the speakers zip tied to the rear seat headrest. I need more speaker cable and put them up here up front where I can hear them. But I'm going to get on out of here almost to where I got to make a pit stop. So you guys have a safe day. Icy roads, windy conditions. Be safe out there. KE8JXL up here on my way back to Perry area, 69 East.
All right, good talking to you. Yeah, you started having a little bit of noise come in on that last one, but you were still completely copyable. It's winter again. I knew it was teasing. It was starting to warm up and stuff was melting. It was, 50 degrees out. There's no way it was over.
It is cool. I went to the Livonia swap on Saturday. They had a big showing there. There was a lot of people. There was a lot of tables. Not anything that I was looking for. I got out of there with all my money in my pocket, but it was a surprise how many people were there. They had it at a new facility, and it was a lot nicer, and I was actually surprised how many young people were there, hams that were like, young being younger than me, probably around your age. There was quite a few young guys.
I'm flattered you think I'm young. Maybe it's a generational flip here. It's going to come back around because everyone's sick of cell phones. Excuse me. I know I am. Actually, working in technology kind of makes you hate it. Good morning, Sean. Are you cold?
Yeah, good morning. A little bit. Not terrible, but it's not going to break 30 today. And we've thinned out a little bit, so it feels probably a little colder than... We'd have had this a month ago, we'd have been going, ooh, but now it feels a little cold. Anyhow, good morning, everybody. Roads are kind of crappy, although not treacherous. Anthony?
AAW.
Good morning, Sean. Sean, I got my hams over IP phone all set up. It is ready to go, and I have the ground wire set up. I just got to load some numbers into the phone book. And Dakota, I have a theory on what it was. It looks like a bunch of these guys were like, cam Haines bros, and there's probably like a component of that hunting, prepping, gym bro that was there, I think. It was an interesting group.
Well, there you go. There's the demographic. You know, that's part of why, the main reason I got into it was MCOM, you know, alternative communication. Don't need to rely on a cell phone. I've used GMRS with a buddy exactly one time to kill an amazing stud of a turkey. That was one of the best hunts I've ever been on. But the rest of my buddies are just too dumb to use a radio, so it's never going to happen. Rick, good morning. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, fellas. Just got in from feeding the kitty there, and glad to catch you out there. Yeah, it's a little bit chilly. I got out there about 5 this morning, so my toes got a little frosty. yeah, hopefully, another month and a half maybe, and might be back to fishing. PAWJ, where's it go? Sean, I think, maybe.
Yep, good morning, Rick. How you doing? Well, that's good. Whatever brings in young kids is good. Yeah, younger, not kids. Whatever brings in younger people is good. And if it's prep, that's fine because, you know, they might come in with a total prepper mentality, but then when they see everything that the hobby has to offer, you're going to get at least a significant portion of them that are going to say, oh, I can do this, so I can do that. You know, so I think that, you know, we brought in people traditionally back when I was younger. They came in through shortwave radio, just electronic geeks that like to build things. And there was like a couple, CB brought in some, but that's not really a thing anymore. You know, there's a small group of people, but most people get on that, and the ones that you would want get on and get off in a week. So, but any method or any reason you have to get people piqued and interested in looking at this is probably going to be a net positive, along with a little negative. You know, the $10 Bofang and the ease of being able to get equipment has been. I've said that it's been the death of the hobby, so look at that. It's both sides of the sword. Anthony?
Yeah, it'll be interesting, and I agree. It does, it will bring in some good, and, you know, the problem is, and we've all had this conversation with several people that come in and talk in the mornings, and, you know, it's tough to explain to somebody that they're somewhere between $10 and $500 HT is a toy, and they need a mobile unit. You know, so we'll see. I was optimistic. I was like, wow, you know, it's not just a bunch of crotchety old men that are selling their 100-year-old stuff. It was all old stuff. It didn't really fit anything that I was looking for, but I wasn't really looking for anything. But it was cool. It was refreshing. There was a lot of young guys. So hopefully it'll stick, and we'll start seeing more and more of it. Hey, guys, this is going to be my final. I'm pulling into the parking lot, so I will catch up with you guys in the morning. I'll try to hop on my phone if I can. KEARUH.
Later, Anthony. Yeah, it is exciting that there's more people coming in. I will say it seems like every week, or maybe even every day, I come out here and I hear calls that I haven't heard before. I talk to people I haven't talked to before. And I know that's the network. That's a big part of it. It's not like they're all in this area and it's concentrated. But there are active hams, which is cool, and there's hopefully new hams coming in. I still try to preach to my buddies, and it just, I feel like it goes in one ear and out the other. But I seriously think it'll come full circle. I've been watching, I only watch YouTube, and I swear, like, there's more and more videos of people detoxing, breaking away from their phone, this, that, and the other thing. And it's like, I'm not saying, you know, it's going to make a full circle comeback, but I think that there's going to be more people picking up a radio to screw around with it. And then to your point, Sean and Anthony's, Yeah, you can get your license by remembering the questions or studying the material, but that license doesn't teach you how to use a radio or to understand that an HT is not the way to go.
Well, I'd be happy to hear a lot more people on there. This young Wyatt guy, what an awesome young man there. You could have a whole lot more like him and be real happy. But I know most of the day I get out and turn the radio on to go scanning the 25, 30 repeaters we got in the area, and it's just dead air. It was kind of making me a little bit nervous. But I myself am enjoying the digital portion of the radio spectrum there. I can get all over the world without a yard full of antennas. I don't have to wait for propagation. I can get a hold of who I want to rather than who's out there, you know, kind of thing. It's pretty awesome. I was trying to get some neighbors hooked on it, a doctor, but he's more into satellite phones because he doesn't have to learn anything. So who knows where it's going, but I same with me. I'd like to see a lot more young people out there. KEAWOJ, Sean.
Connected to CMN Network.
Yep. No, I think it's a good thing. You know, the preppers, they have a natural kind of like the bug zapper for those guys is kind of the POTUS stuff. You know, it's like you're talking about putting together a kit of radio equipment. You know, and the great part is with POTA is they get to learn how to really set things up in a bug-out situation and make contacts over great distances without relying on infrastructure and whatnot. And so, you know, if a guy genuinely gets into it, you know, from the POTA angle, you know, of course, he buys a couple of Bofangs and stuffs them in his kit and thinks he's got it covered. Then he gets into the hobby and goes to a POTA or two and realizes, wait a minute, and that starts the bug. As you know, Dakota, W8FU.
It does crack me up how many guys I see, because like I said, I live on YouTube and Reddit and all that crap and just look at EDC forums and all that. I like keeping up on new gear. I'm not one of those dudes. Like, I got to have a pry bar. I got to have a knife for this. I got to have a knife for that. No, I carry a Leatherman in my pocket and a flashlight. I've carried a knife and a flashlight in my pocket for 15 years. I'm not one of those people that need, you know, a Maxpedition pouch full of stuff. But it cracks you up because so many of these guys have, like, one or two Bofangs in there. And it's like, what are you going to do with that? For one, you're probably not licensed. For two, you know, that thing gets rained on, it's going to stop working.
Yeah, kind of been into a little bit of prepping myself there, but not actually on radio stuff. Mostly on food, you know, clothing, go bags, different kind of stuff like that. And but I guess I ought to work on something for the radios. I see some of them guys, they do those mesh-tastic networks around their property kind of thing so they can keep in touch with the family in the cabin kind of thing, but not necessarily get out very far. And it's somewhat private, apparently. I have no need for that either kind of thing, but it is nice to be able to hear what's going on out there if something does happen.
You know, Meshtastic would work in a community. You know, if there was a total breakdown, you know, and there was no infrastructure, and you wanted to have like some sort of a rudimentary text messaging service around a community, and you know, and then with some judicial planning and everything like that, you could probably set it up to work across into another community. But you know, those, yeah, you're right. They're not very good. They're good for like localized. After that, they become unreliable. They will work. I mean, it's amazing some of the stuff I see, you know, pop up on my display on mine. You know, it's like a hops it must be made, but it's just dumb luck, you know. It's like you try to, I'm going to send a message back to that guy. Well, you won't get there, you know. So, and I have, you know, very little luck. It's almost like, you know, messages get through, it's kind of a crapshoot. So it's not, so you're, it's not real reliable. Could be, you know, I mean, in a situation. I think the biggest thing in all this prepper stuff is learning about power. You know, how are you going to power this stuff? How are you going to keep the batteries charged? You know, those are the things that, you know, you really got to learn about. If you just say, well, I'll just roll out my generator, you know. Okay, you know, or I'll just use the cigarette lighter plug in the car. Okay, you know, I mean, but that's just pushing the crisis down the road now, isn't it? A little bit? I guess, yes and no, but you learn about that stuff anyhow, you know, as far as battery powering things and, you know, power relationship to amp capacity, you know, things like that. So it's a great hobby for those guys that want to do that. And yeah, you're right, a lot don't even think about the radio part of it. It's, you know, has some water and food and clothing and, you know, things like that. You know, it's everybody's definition of a go kit is different, but increasingly, I think, thanks to the $10 Bofang, people are considering radios.
Power is one of my favorite things to mess around with and try to figure out. I haven't gone solar yet, but that's the next step. Shouldn't be too hard because I'm only charging small batteries. And, I actually, really all I need to do is buy a solar panel for my Blue Eddy that I've got, and then I'm set. That'll charge all my gadgets and radios as long as I need it to, because none of them are huge. But yeah, that 857 I bought off of you, that is my definition of prepping, you know, shack in the box on battery with a couple antennas in the bag. Ways to set it up and get her going. That's about the extent of it for me. I do carry, I got my ICOM ID50 in my backpack every day, but I don't know. I'm not, I think there's more important things if disaster were to strike than do I have my HD. But I do like POTA. I do like, you know, operating out of the norm. Like I said, this is my favorite radio, is the one I'm on right now, is that 2730B in a bag. I unplug it like it's my phone on days I got to use it, and I zip the bag up, throw it on the floor of the truck, hook the antenna up, and I'm on the air. Except this morning, I forgot to put the antenna on the roof, so I was talking to Anthony with the mag mount on the floor of the back seat somehow. But yeah, no, they're all radio's good radio. I'm glad to see people getting involved, and hopefully that sparks some companies to do some cool stuff too, because it's been kind of static, right? It's been the big three with a couple niche companies here and there and a bunch of Chinese garbage.
Yeah, what seems to get the non-users of radio interested there is they'll kind of be walking by or some of the family there, and I have my HD on the porch there having a cigar, and see, who are you talking to? Oh, just some guys over in England. And what? And that little thing can get to England? You know? Well, sort of. That sparks their interest, and all of a sudden they kind of want to learn a little bit. So you start telling them about it, and they start realizing, oh, I got a lot to learn. Never mind, I got a phone. And just out of curiosity, did you guys get that video I sent you? That's insane.
You know what? I saw that came in, and I tried to bring it up on my phone. It wouldn't play, so I've been meaning to bring that up elsewhere. It's like I got the still picture of it, but I couldn't get it to play. So I will, and I forgot. I'll see if I can't get that up and running. I could see the chain gun or regular or whatever in the still at the very beginning, but so I have an inkling. Jeez. Just circling back very quickly, you said you have the 2730 or whatever it is and it's there, but did you get one of those FT-150s, that new Yaesu simple dual bander Dakota at one point, or do you still have one? And if you do, what do you think of it? How do you like it?
Rick, that's like my dream hunt. Not necessarily with a minigun, but, you know, just going to Texas or Oklahoma and just hammering hogs. And, yeah, Sean, that's in my other truck. I've had that in that truck since I bought it. I honestly,
like, you know me and Yaesu don't get along. I've talked a lot of crap. I have not a single complaint about that radio. For the money, $300, it just works. It's a basic. It's just like the 2730B, except you don't have to buy additional hardware to mount the face to the radio, which thanks ICOM. And it's got a speaker in the head. So if someone's a new ham or needs good radio or whatever, I mean, it's kind of hard to go wrong with that thing.
Yeah, you know, I've got a 70D, FT-70D there, and it's a good radio, but the battery's garbage. I mean, for this little round table like we have going there, I'd need a couple of batteries. It's just, the batteries suck big time. Kind of makes it not worthwhile. Anyway, the Dakota, they have... hunts, guided hunts and stuff that you can go to. They're making big money on that. I remember when it all started, they were all crying in Texas for the hogs taking over their frontier kind of thing, and what are we going to do and all that, and all kind of guys volunteered to come on down there and help them out with the problem, and then all of a sudden they wanted to start charging them. They were like, wait a minute, we're going to pay for plane tickets and hotels and food and stuff to come down there and help you with the problem, and then you want to charge us for it. And so a lot of guys changed their mind kind of thing. And now they got a regular almost like guide services for that. KEAWOJ, Sean.
Well, it looks like it's playing fine now, so I'll give that a look when I get to work. But, yeah, my kids were in Houston for a while, and they are in a very, very built-up area. It was kind of a high-dollar area, you know, with high-end shopping and all that stuff. It's called the Woodlands. And they had a whole bunch there. You know, there were some areas where... one thing I noticed about Texas is it can get real rural real fast. I mean, you know, you got the city center, and then it's, you know, it's just urban, 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 urban. Then when you get out into the burbs, it's, you know, it's like... wilderness punctuated by, you know, suburbs. I mean, I don't know. I guess we have similar here, but it just strikes me as a little bit more so there. But, you know, there in the Woodlands, there's an area where you're rolling between there and Conway, or is it Conway? Anyhow, next town north there. And, there's like a clearing area, and a bunch of hogs in there, just a whole crap load of them, probably about 2 miles maybe from my kid's place. And they're just everywhere, man. They're like a, you know, I understand what, you know, why they're, you know, do those hunts, because they talk about an invasive species.
I've only been to Texas to hunt one time, and it was not hogs. It was for sandhill cranes. But we saw hogs everywhere, and I joke with my wife all the time. If we ever move to Texas, we got to move somewhere where we can buy enough land that butts up to a ranch or something where there's hogs running through the backyard every day, and I get to shoot them, because that's all I want to do. It's like, I like shooting groundhogs, so imagine shooting a full-size one. But yeah, they're crazy down there, and that's the typical greed, Rick. You know, try to help someone, and then they got their hand out.
Everybody was a little freaked out there at, you know, they were going to spend kind of a fortune to get down and help them out, and then they wanted more. Yeah, you're right. That's the way it goes. But, you know, there's a forum called the Michigan Sportsman, and just tons of everybody in Michigan's on this forum kind of thing, hunting, fishing, shooting, all of it, everything you can imagine. And I remember a few years back, we were having a hog problem, or at least I was hearing about it. And, I mean, it's just disappeared. I haven't heard anybody mention a hog in Michigan in a long time now. So I'm kind of wondering what's up. Everybody took care of them before they got out of control, or just nobody's mentioning it no more. Sean, go ahead.
Yeah, you know what? You're right. I remember that. It was kind of a scare, and we were really worried. It was just a few years back, and I don't remember exactly when, but and I haven't heard nothing about that ever since. But I have not been frequenting the forums. I've been woefully out of that end of the you know, as far as hobbies go, I haven't been doing a lot with regards to all that. So, it could be that I'm just out of touch, but, yeah, that was a thing. We got yotes. I know yotes are becoming quite the problem, or are quite the problem, not becoming. So, no one was talking about that. That's the one that hit. W8FU, Dakota.
I remember in college, the Russian boar thing, everyone was freaking out when they thought that we were going to have the same problem as Texas, and every DNR survey and piece of literature asked, you know, did you see any Russian boar while hunting, blah, 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 and I talked to everybody I knew that hunted and hunted all over the state and different states, and the only reports I ever got, and I don't even know if these were accurate, but allegedly they were in northern Michigan, they got out of some range. So I don't think it was as wide-scale big of an issue as it actually was. I think it was literally a ranch had a fence break and some hogs got out. I could be totally wrong. But, yeah, I know. I wish. And coyotes, yeah, coyotes are going to continue to get worse and worse and worse. So any chance you get to hit one with a car, do it.
Well, Dakota, I think you're absolutely right. I remember the same thing. It started out at hogs got out of a ranch somewhere and, started spreading out and multiplying. Then after that, was a big thing for quite a while, and it supposedly spread out a ways there, but I don't know if people took care of it immediately or what's going on with that. And the yotes, yeah, it's getting bad. 2010, I was up in the UP there hunting with a friend. And it was incredible the amount of yotes up there at night. They started out, it was one pack. There had to be 100 of them in this pack kind of thing. And, everybody blames wolves, bringing back the wolves is wiping out the deer, but nobody's, mentioning the yotes kind of thing. It was getting so bad they were having tournaments to try to take out the yotes. And then the tree huggers got involved and started screaming and crying, and they made the tournaments illegal. So, it's getting out of control. We're going to have to end, it's going to end up like the 50s when the federal government put a bounty on them, knocked them back down, and there's been nothing ever since, so they're coming back with a fury again. Sean.
Yep, yeah, that one's, and that one there gets a little sympathy from the PETA crowd. When their little French poodle gets taken away, and all of a sudden they realize there's a problem. So, I doubt the PETA crowd's going to be in favor of thinning the herd, but at least a lot of the people that might be against something like that, a culling of sorts, let your little poodle get eaten, and that's a real problem. And then we'll see if you're so gung ho on just letting them run wild. But back to the hogs. I remember that too. I remember there was a farm that had a breach, and they were all worried about that and everything. But I also seem to vaguely remember some sightings. That I remember watching that real closely. Really being worried about because those things they ruin other hunting. And I remember seeing. Hearing of some reports up in the thumb, and I remember we were all kind of like, no, really? And and I don't know how accurate they were or if it was just a one-of or not a good sighting, but I just seem to recall there was a few reports in the thumb. And does anybody remember that? Something's telling me that was the case, because that kind of freaked me out when I heard they were that close already.
Maybe, I don't know. It was like it blew in and blew out, like hogs in Michigan. And then now it's like you said, we don't hear anything. I might have heard something about them in the thumb. I don't know. I feel like if that was the case, though, they had to have been smoked quickly, because knowing what happens in the South, I'm sure, especially if it started with a ranch where they got out, I'm sure that guy was held accountable of, like, you better take care of this, or else you're going to get a lot of fines for all the damages that these things are going to cause. But I'm going to have to go in and look it up, because now I don't remember. I know for sure there were reports of a ranch of them escaping, and there were Russian boars, but I don't know about the thumb. I'm going to go double-check. But, you know, I know it would be bad for the farmers and our hunting, but as someone who specializes in eradication, sounds like a couple new calibers I'd get to try out for those things. But on that note, I'm going to clear out. I'm at work here, and I got a lot of crap going on to start my day, so I'll catch you guys this afternoon. Good talking to you. At 8 DBF, over to you, Rick.
Okay, 7-3, young man, have a good one there, and we'll get you later. And, Sean, I think you're right. I seem to remember something about that myself. That's what made me believe that they had really spread out and multiplied kind of quickly throughout the state. That's what freaked me out is, you know, how big it seemed to be getting so quickly. But then, you know, like, you go to the, just disappeared, you don't hear nothing about it no more. Sean, go ahead.
Yeah, I thought, you know, really with the pigs, I thought it was once they, you know, once they're here, that's it. Once the cat's out of the bag or the genie's out of the bottle, I thought all you can do at that point is just try to manage as best you can. So it is kind of strange that we don't hear anything about that anymore. And, you know, well. But it is what it is. Dakota, catch you later. I'm just getting my coffee here. I'm at Starbucks, so that puts me about a mile from my shop. So generally by the time I get my coffee, I'm minutes away, but I haven't picked it up quite yet. Got a next up at the window.
Well, it seems to me like the fellas that would know for sure would be the farmers. If you know any kind of farmers kind of thing, especially, you know, the northern portion of the state kind of thing, they would be in touch with whether their land's getting all tore up and ripped up. You know, they'd be the ones to ask. Anyway, I don't know any, so I'm out here in the cold. KEAWOJ.
Okay, sorry about that. I was, there was a confusion at the pickup window. I had to set the mic down. My speaker's in the microphone here. It's a handheld control head for this radio. So I tossed the microphone down in the passenger seat, and I can't hear. But I am back on the road. So you'll have to repeat what your last one was. I apologize for that, Rick.
Well, that's all right. I was just mentioning that it seems to me the only ones that know for sure is the farmers. You know, they keep in close touch with the land. They've always been in touch with the land kind of thing. And if the hogs are around, they rip up them holes and mud holes, and you know what I mean? They kind of tear things up, so they would know right off the bat kind of thing. Yeah, the good old Tim Hortons there. I remember working at Elmont at the Interpower induction heat place. And stopping in Emily City there and getting Tim Hortons every day. It was good coffee.
Oh, yeah, the farmers, you know, they're the ones that we're trying to protect, you know. It's, you know, the hogs are going to really do a number on them. The, you know, the coyote are gonna affect just about everybody with pets or anything like that. But the pigs are going to be mostly farmers, you know, because they stay the hell away from. I mean, they might root through your trash if you're in a, I guess, I don't know, I don't, but they're going to destroy farms. So, yeah, they know. They know real damn quick. And, yeah, I did Starbucks this morning. I do Timmy's every now and again, but Starbucks is the one that I'm mostly a fan of. You know, if you watch what you get, you can get out of there pretty reasonable. A lot of people always say, oh, Starbucks, you know, who wants to pay, you know, $6 for a cup of coffee? And, well, if, you know, you order the thing that has, you know, five or six words, you know, names, words in the name, you know, caramel frappalapa, doodle, smackadoodle, or whatever, you know, you order some silly thing like that, well, you know, the price gets up there. But I stick to just coffee or a couple of tea drinks that keep it
fairly reasonable, fairly close to what you get out of, you pay at Timmy's or Dunkin', something like that. But the smart man makes his own, puts it in a thermos cup, and drives to work. That's the smart man. So, what did I just say? I'm not the smart man.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Yeah, I was just chuckling, thinking the same thing when I was working at like 4:30 in the morning or so. It was enough getting out of bed and getting dressed and getting on the way, let alone having to make coffee and clean out a thermos and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, the Starbucks, it seemed like everyone I ever saw and went by had this huge line in it, and I just did not want to sit there in the line for that one. So. I'd go to Timmy's, or Dunkin' had some pretty good coffee too, Dunkin' Donuts there, but it don't seem like there's a whole lot of those around anymore. What else? Hardee's, remember Hardee's? They seem to have all disappeared. I used to love their sausage biscuit in the morning. They had one in Lake Lyon there, and they had some okay coffee at the fast food place, T-A-W-J.
Well, I resemble those comments, Sean. As a smart man, this is K-A-U-H-C. Hey, Steve-O, how you doing, man? Yeah, Hardee's, yeah, there's one on Mound Road, north of 15. That's the only one I know of anymore, and they got some cool stuff in there. I don't know that I've had their breakfast, but they've got some good-looking stuff in there. I gotta try that. I haven't been there in quite some time. Good morning, Steve. What's up with you? Unfortunately, I'm just pulling in the parking lot here at work and getting ready to head in. But I'll stick for one go round. How you been?
Well, yeah, I go through and they do some job at just one place, and they take some of the tips and buy whatever snacks and things like that. So I've kind of upped their coffee game by buying better coffee. You know, sometimes I get the clearance stuff, like the seasonal stuff that Starbucks at Kroger, you know, when they clear it out and all that. So anyway, I've upped their coffee game. So when I go over there, I make my cup of coffee. But I'm doing well. But yeah, I was listening to you guys talk about the hunting and stuff, and I just let you know I was talking to a youth ham here over the weekend. The second tier double nickel, one or the other. And he says, "Oh, I'm sorry, I had to go help my dad clean his guns." I think that's what he said. So this lets you know. Anyway, this is K-A-U-H-C.
Oh, cool, Steve. I don't think we've ever talked. My name's Rick over on SN, K-A-W-O-J, and I like hearing that even more than the young folks getting on the radio. We got to keep them showing the right way to do things and keep it going there. I know it's been a tradition throughout most Americans' lives to have all that passed on from grandfathers to fathers to sons, and we need to keep that up, that's for sure. Sean, go ahead.
Alrighty, I'm just walking in the door here. I've switched over to the portable, hopefully no problem. And so thanks for the drive in. Steve, you know what we should do? We should get together and have coffee. That little place south of you there on Jefferson. We should, if I'm down your way working or something like that, I'll give you a call. I just don't know where you're normally hanging out. We should just go grab a coffee and BS for a little bit. All right, I'm walking in the door. I'll catch you guys later. This is W8FU.
Okay, Sean, 7-3. Yeah, we'll do that. We'll do that. And nice to talk to you and all that. And Rick, yeah, it was kind of interesting. Yeah, he's going, "Oh, I'm sorry. We're talking on the radio." So anyway, over to you, Rick.
Sean, if you get 10 minutes or so, check out that video. I think you'll enjoy it. It's amazing. And
Actually, my grandparents were the only ones that did any kind of hunting or shooting of any kind, and they weren't very good at that. Somehow I just had to know why. We moved out to the country. I kind of grew up around Roosevelt, and then we moved out to Lakeville, Leonard area, and when we moved out there, it was the sticks kind of thing. And so running around hunting and fishing, just about everybody there did that. That's what we did. That's about all we had to do kind of thing, and I enjoyed the heck out of it.
Well, I grew up on East Side Detroit, and I some of my godmother, she's some of the thumb. She's under, she was the closest, like the other cities, close to Leonard. But then, yeah, I used to get up, we used to go up, then my uncle, my dad's brother bought out, and then his older nephew, he kind of kept, you know, kind of identified with his roots in the, over in the thumb on his mom's side. And, bought some property up around Argyle too, and so I wasn't a hunter, not against or anything. I just have not done it. But we'd go up there like when they're getting ready for deer hunting season. We'd take a ride up the area on my uncle's property at 40 acres, and they would, you know, scout their firing at cans or something over there, and you know, my dad take his turn at that, you know, I guess they used to say, they used to talk about pheasants, like up in the thumb, they were around there, and then they had that catch and release, and they used to make jokes about it, you know, how the pheasants were blind, or putting cake, or something like that. But anyway, there used to be pheasants all around, and that was, I guess, the big thing in the thumb, the pheasants disappearing.
Yes, sir, and in the Leonard area, too, Leonard, Lakeville, I guess north of there is Dryden. South would be Rochester, about 20 miles south, or whatever the kind of thing. But, yeah, we used to have a lot of pheasants there. I enjoyed the heck out of pheasant hunting, but then, like you said, they just kind of disappeared. I'm not sure what I remember around, somewhere around that time they had a DDT problem, but I think that mostly affected the eagles and hawks and different kind of birds of prey, and the shells were too thin, and the young ones weren't hatching and whatever, but something sure got rid of the pheasants awful quick, and then they started doing the up-to-date stuff, and it was a shame, but I just used to love to hear them things cackling in the morning.
Yeah, okay, that's what I thought. Okay, well, my guess where Leonard is. Some in-laws, one of them was the city attorney at different townships and cities, and you know, somehow he used to go down to Leonard. I don't know if that was one of his clients or not, but anyway, he was in Illinois City. In that area, we're down here, every once in a while, I'd see kind of a surprise to see a pheasant run across the street, you know, or be on, like, on the lakeside down here, like in Harrison Township, St. Clair Shores area. I remember last time I saw, it's been a while since I've seen some pheasants. We used to go down in Detroit, Mount Olivet Cemetery, and there used to be pheasants in there. And we'd go down there, he would drive. I remember that's where I learned my dad would take me to practice the driving when I had my permit growing up. And then, just the pheasants. I think up around Dryden, there was that Seven Ponds. Is it Seven Ponds Nature Center or something? Remember, we would take a walk over there when my daughters were small. We'd go with their uncle, and they would we'd see some pheasants rise up.
Oh yeah, Seven Ponds, I know it well. There a lot of it's private. It just ain't any public launches or anything there. So, but there was a portion of the lake that kind of came out to the road, gravel road there, and me and a couple of friends used to drag a rowboat over there and drop it in the little river and head out on the lake kind of thing and do some fishing there. It was kind of nice. And I had some cousins that were on, lived around Utica Road and, 18 Mile or something like that. There was a lot of kind of farmland in that area at the time, too. Man, I couldn't believe all the pheasants there. I thought, man, there wasn't any hunting in there. You know, you couldn't hunt there. Maybe that's why there were so many, but I thought it was kind of a shame because you couldn't help but you almost stumbled over the doggone things, you know.
Yeah, they said it one time, but then they used to make fun. I remember back when they went to that, putting tape and stuff to try to do it, and they had to get the pheasants off the ground, and they said those things are so stupid, and, you know, they just didn't know what to do. So it's almost useless, and they said that the wildlife and stuff would, before they would be able to hunt them, they would, foxes and stuff, they'd end up consuming the pheasants and such. Do you still do any of that put and take stuff?
I think there is some put and take areas around. I don't think it's quite what it used to be. And I had a couple of friends that every once in a while we'd go to one of those, I forgot what they were called now, but there were areas where guys would do that. They would raise pheasants and then you have a group of four or five guys or whatever, and they take you out to a certain farmland, and 2 hours before you're scheduled to go out there, they go drop off a bunch of pheasants, and like you said, they're raised in a pen kind of thing, you know, a great big pen kind of thing. They were kind of dumb. They shake them, they spin them around when they go to release them, get them all dizzy, and then drop them down, and of course they're on the ground, and they're all dizzy, and they don't know what to do, so guy walks away kind of thing, and then they just sit there till they're not dizzy anymore, and then they don't know where they are or where to go or what to do kind of thing. It's just, I don't know, it's not a good thing. I guess it's not really what I call hunting, but it is what it is. You know, with none of them left, I guess the guys who miss doing that kind of thing are, especially the dog guys. A lot of guys, they got dogs and a lot of training, a lot of money and time, effort put into training them and hunting with them kind of thing, and the dogs just love it kind of thing, so they get missing that, and you do whatever you can, I guess. It's all right with me. It's just I don't know, I felt funny every time I was doing it.
Yeah, that's what people say, kind of more like that, right? Kind of weird. And I think that Seven Ponds, I remember going, I think it was kind of what was kind of considered, because it's a nature center and stuff, so we'd go there, and my uncle would try to, my kid's uncle and stuff, you know, they would take his son and daughter and maybe a couple of friends from the neighborhood, because it's nature center, so you try to, it's kind of a learning experience. I think they said it was like a true prairie. It's not like sometimes you think of the prairies out west and stuff, but I think it was said that it's a true prairie. Also I think it's more common to see turkeys. I saw like just down here, like about, where was it, like 14 Mile, kind of the corner, 14 Mile and Gratiot. Couple of times there's a little cement place or something where they mix up cement and things like that. But anyway, like 14 Mile and Gratiot, just off the freeway there, but on the surface streets, I've seen turkeys more often than I have seen pheasants.
Yeah, quite a long time back. When was it, 90s, 80s or 90s or something like that? The state kind of started raising turkeys. Northern Michigan and southern Michigan there. I used to live in Lapeer, in the Lapeer State Game Area. They kind of restocked that kind of thing. And the turkeys didn't seem as silly as the pheasants there. They were always real weary. They did pretty good at coming back and anyway, they're everywhere now. They're all over. We have them in the yard here every so often. I'm over by Orchard Lake, and we had a big flock that was hanging around here and stopping in every once in a while to raid the bird feeder, the stuff that falls out of the bird feeders there. It's good to see them, good to hear them, too. I used to hear them in the evening. They roost up in trees just before dark, and I'd hear them flying up in the trees and then doing a few little cackles, and off to sleep they'd go.
Yeah, it seems like with turkeys, when you see one, there's like a brood of them, right? And they see them walking across. There's several. And all that. So over here, I haven't seen maybe it's the wrong time of year. Maybe it was the wrong time of year, but maybe you see some of their young and marching them around. Or you see them out in the field, you'll see one, and I'll look across. Remember going up some dirt roads and stuff some years back and looking across, I'm like, okay, there's some more turkeys. But yeah, it does seem like they've made a pretty good comeback. I'm not sure what the status was years ago, but it seems to be pretty popular. And I think a lot of people wish that there were fewer Canadian geese.
Yeah, the lake owners, they really hate the geese there. You can't really blame them. I mean, their whole yard's full of, you know, goose poop all over the place. But it is what it is, I guess. It's one of the drawbacks of living on a lake, I suppose. The turkey geese, they crack me up in the spring. They get all horned up, and they'll gobble at anything. You can blow the horn at them, and the whole flock will just start gobbling, the males anyway. Well, actually, the hens do too. You can whistle at them, they start gobbling. Make any kind of noise, they start gobbling. It's hilarious.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, I have not been around turkeys enough to know that. I know some of the swans, you think, oh, those are so pretty, they get out of the water, and they'll start hissing and attacking.
Yeah, they can get pretty mean and tough, too. There's a little spot here on Walnut Lake where they like to make a little nest in there, and they're pretty protective of that area. And it's a little, what do you want to call it, the subdivision's little community at the beach there kind of thing. So they stay away from the people, but any other birds or anything else gets anywhere near there, they go right after them.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, I guess like some of the Canadian geese, I was told that some of the places like in the industrial parks and things, you know, where you got different people interacting and such, you know, some places they can get, like, they have to apply something to the DNR or something like that, and maybe they can like, they call it like shake the eggs, or they replace them with some other kind of, you know, like imitation eggs or something like that in those areas, so that they don't form new broods and stuff in the area. I think that's still okay. I haven't heard much about it, but I guess when I used to, in some of these office buildings, that's what they used to say.
Yeah, I haven't heard about that, but I used to talk to a guy almost daily. He worked around 12 in Farmington there, and... There must have been a little pond nearby or something. But anyway, he'd say just about every morning when he'd get out of his car and head into the shop, into work there, he'd get chased around by one or two of the geese. He'd get pretty aggressive too, I guess.
Oh, yeah, I believe it, sure. Used to go and take for a bit last year, about a year ago or so. A little gig over in like 12 Mile and Novi Road area, take the bus actually across there, and I'd get some other work done going across this long ride. But it was interesting, and I'd get up there, you know, get out there early, and sometimes there wasn't too much snow last year, but there was a little bit at times. But even when it got warmer, and it would dip into like the where they're building like an expanded campus of Oakland Community College, and I kind of look forward to some places seeing deer. You know, a number of times I go through, and there's a few different areas there, a few little groves, and some nice. I counted up to, I think up to maybe 14 deer, maybe 15 deer at one time or another, and two or three little patches there one morning, and then sometimes coming back to kind of a quiet cage it was back here, kind of a quiet campus. But yeah, it was fun to see that.
Yeah, that's always nice to see. We've got quite a few. We just have a lot of them over here, but then they did some, started doing some culling. Let's see, this morning I went out to feed the cat there, and there was four of them in the backyard here raiding the bird feeder. So they started to take off, and I said, it's all right, go ahead and help yourself, you know. Yeah. They're not that awful skittish, but a lot of people anyway, as long as you don't try to get too close.
Oh, okay. Yeah, a couple, three Novembers ago, I think it was, or so, beginning of November, some first time I ever saw them. Across there by the lake, a couple of deer, they spent about 24 hours around the area here and moved on, And then the Saturday, I remember going along and seeing him in the cemetery. I guess they move around at that time because of the mating or something like that. It's natural that they start expanding their territory. So I've never seen, but other people, you know, taking pictures over the years and posting them up, and I know they come through here. I just had not seen them. And I think years ago when I moved here, there was a deer. As before, this goes back when police or police and fire had their frequencies that weren't on the trunking system, the digital trunking system. And I remember hearing some activity, and over by the park here, apparently there was some deer. They were trying to get it to come to the beach area. To come out because they were afraid it was going to drown in the lake, Lake Sinclair. So that was the one time I went down there and saw them and get it out, and they took it to wherever. I don't know.
Yeah, deer are real active at dawn and dusk kind of thing. And it depends on, you know, where you are, where you live. Out in the boonies, they're out, they're active during the day. And usually kind of hide out at night, sort of like we do kind of thing. But where there's a lot of people and a lot of traffic and things going on, they end up bedding for a good portion of the day, and then they come out in the evenings and at night kind of thing and wander around and feed at night. But they deer usually live within a mile square of wherever they were born. They know it like the back of their paw kind of thing, a hoof kind of thing, you know. They hardly get any further than about a mile from wherever they were born. And so if you see them in the area, they were probably born and been there for a while.
Yeah, I'm not so sure in the city here. I know that where I saw them, I don't think they were living in this, you know, who knows. I doubt it, you know, like a mile. Bobby, I would see them more often if they were like down, if you see down the city. Some of them just wander, you know. Remember some years ago watching like on social media, so some deer wandered down and got down into Roseville. I think it was the same one or two deer. It was always interesting to see how they could just in a flash just go right over a regular standard cyclone fence, you know, between yards, just nothing. I think they worked their way down to Coast Point Woods, I think it was down that way. So they just kind of wandered around and grazed. In fact, the communication director down here, she posted some stuff up on the city's cable channel and wrote something in the local paper about, you know what happens if you would encounter a deer, because they visit people in the city, or maybe it's not so common you would, you know, expect that encounter within the city. But she wrote, you know what the recommended, strategy is if you you're in your car and you come across a deer. This is KAAUHD.
Connected to CMN Network.
Yeah, over here are whatever you want to call it, the community complex or whatever, the West Bloomfield, the police department, the library, there's a couple other buildings over there. Anyway, right behind there, they got a great big area of trails going through a bunch of nothing. A lot of wildlife in there. And the deer get used to the people, and the people get used to the deer. And they even put signs up because people were complaining about the coyotes. And they put a sign up saying, well, they're a natural part of the blah, blah, blah. And, you know, leave us alone because we're not doing anything about it kind of thing. The wildlife are getting pushed and pushed and pushed, but they don't need a whole lot place to stay. But we've got a little kind of a wetland kind of area there. It's not even a quarter of an acre kind of thing, but it's kind of swampy and cattails and different kind of stuff. And when it's not real, real wet in there, you can get a half a dozen of them laying in that little thing, and you never know they were there.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I guess that's the point of maintaining those wetlands, right? You know, they make these developers, you know, replace them somewhere within a reasonable, a reasonable area or reasonable proximity. And, yeah, it's funny you mentioned the coyotes and them having to sign it. So I was just going to say, as I remember reading in the local paper, some people posting up about some person, you know, sometime in the, probably about 5 years ago, they said that their wife was going to work in an area like right here, right in the city, you know, off of 12 Mile, and there's a coyote was right across the, you know, across the path of his wife's vehicle, you know, before she got to 12 Mile, and so he got this, like, oh. You know, the city would want to know, and the DNR and all that, so they, you know, calls up, and he was surprised that when their response was, well, kind of like what you're saying, is they're part of wildlife, and so they were concerned about their, they thought they would, like, oh, they want to capture it and relocate it, and he says, no, he says, well, coyotes, you know, he says, they don't really like people a whole lot, you know, don't like noise, he says, so he recommended, because they were concerned about their pet dog or something. So they gave him some information saying, well, you know, they recommended that when the dog goes out, that a person goes with them and they make a little bit of noise. And with time, if the coyotes are in the area, they'll start associating the animal with the human, and then you can let the animal out, and, you know, it runs a lower risk of being, you know, any kind of prey.
KCAKGO, good morning, fellas.
I'm good. Morning. How are you doing this morning? KCAWOJ.
Oh, just starting the day. West Bloomfield and Auburn Hills today, so nowhere too far. Morning, Donald. KCAKGO.
Yeah, so just to see you down here in Sinclair Shores area, and yeah, we're just kind of talking different kinds of wildlife stuff. But go ahead, Rick.
Well, Sinclair Shores, I used to love Sinclair Shores. I grew up in Roseville there, right down the road from what's now the what Macomb Mall or was. I don't know if it's still there or not. But my grandparents grew up there, or lived there. Right on Joy, in between, Harper and Jefferson there. I liked that area. It was pretty nice. Of course, I haven't been in either one in a long, long time.
I'm good.
Oh, where are you guys going? Oh, you're talking about coyotes and stuff like that. That's right. Sorry, I was paying attention to those for a second. Oh, you grew up over in that area, Rick, when it comes back around to you? I grew up at 16 in Gratiot.
Oh, okay. Yeah, not too far away. No, those areas. Yeah, Joy. Yeah, I don't live too far away from Joy, so I know where you're talking about. And I'll be crossed by that street there in that area almost daily. Yeah, Rosalie, yeah, McComb also there. Yep, they've the Sears is out, and but it is like At Home is there, and Hobby Lobby kind of filled that gap, and the vehicle spot. I think it's, you know, it seems like Sears Auto is gone there. Sears done two or three. I think there's a third place that's kind of taken it over. There's some places, I forgot what it was, and more independent, and then it was, I think like a McInerney or Mac and something. I think, and it seemed like they did fleet stuff or so. It seemed like there's a lot of, Amazon delivery trucks, like this, used to park there, and then I think they moved out now. Holbrook Auto, they have taken that, they filled that spot in the past few weeks, I think since the new year, so they're doing tires and auto repair, stuff like that. Go ahead, Ray.
Yeah, I grew up in Masonic and Salon, right in between Gratiot and Kelly, I think it was. In the 50s and 60s, and early 60s, and when I was there, that the only thing down in that corner was Zombo's Market, Masonic and Gratiot. Zombo's Market and the Gratiot Drive-In. And on the southwest side was the Sod Farm. And across from that, the northwest side was a big old empty farm field and a farmhouse and a barn. And we used to go play in the barn kind of thing. It's whenever there was a club, some kind of group of guys that took over the barn, and they'd throw us out of there whenever we when they weren't around, we'd go play in the barn. But, yeah, it was kind of nice back then. There was a whole lot of peasants there also. You used to scare the crap out of me. You'd go walking in the field behind the house there kind of thing and step on one of them, and they'd take off tackling and just about give me a heart attack. Tom, go ahead.
Got a phone call. Pass it over to Steve.
Okay, Tom. Yeah, it was here. Yeah, when you come on to the sessions, that's when the big thing they say, all of a sudden they rise up, you know, when you're just about on top of them. And, I cross by that area all the time, but I remember when they put the freeway in, right, and there was like a barn on each side of the road. We used to go up to the Sweden House there, come up out of Detroit, and that was at Harper and 13, right, something like that. But yeah, I remember when they were putting in the freeway, and then the car dealership for a long time used to use the barn, they used to back up to the freeway, the one there, the car dealership on Gratiot they put in there, and I used to tell people, you remember this barn, and some people remember it, some people don't, but they finally took it down and put in a regular type of garage type of thing up there. But yeah, I remember traipsing up that way, I guess all the people cruising Gratiot too, he would probably turn around somewhere around there too, most likely.
I remember when I was a little baby kid, my grandparents, the ones that lived in St. Clair Shores there, would take us every once in a while. I think it was up Gratiot, north of Mount Clemens there, to a bar restaurant kind of thing, and they had buffalo. And behind the place, they had a barn and some buffaloes, and they were serving buffalo burgers. And man, were them things good! I must have been 4 or 5 years old or something like that, 6 years old when they took me to that place. And, man, that was some really good eating.
I bet. Yeah, there was a place they used to sell buffalo burgers. They just tore it down a little bit ago. There's a little shack, the place that was at Jack Gratiot in 16, like the southwest, yeah, southwest corner. Yeah, I've not, no, I don't know that place. I don't remember it anyway. People, you know, different things. Pop used to be different places around that, you know, I don't know about. But we used to think, I used to think that kind of firewood kind of rises this way, and boy, it, you know, you know, as a kid, you know, someone have their license, it would take a little, you know, kind of cruise around a bit. Now, you know, kind of live out this way, too. But I think most of the houses in this area, most of them were built, like, I think in the 1950s and early 1960s. And, but, yeah, I remember the Gratiot drive-thru, and then there was an Arby's in front. Was the Arby's there when you were, when you went to the Gratiot drive-in?
No, that was, there was hardly anything there. Just Zombos on one corner and the drive-in on the other. And then next to the drive-in was a go-kart track. That was an interesting place there. I'd get to go over there every once in a while. My dad would take me over there. That was kind of a fun place.
Oh, I bet. Yeah, I don't remember that. But yeah, well, I take it back. It was like, it was the Arby's there now, but it was the Roy Rogers. Remember the Roy Rogers restaurant?
Oh, I'll be darned. I remember the name and, you know, the TV show, but I didn't know they had a restaurant.
Yeah, it was kind of like an Arby's, I believe. I think it was Roy Rogers. I think, if I'm not mistaken, could be wrong, but it seems to me they existed, and I think maybe Arby's bought them out. I don't know. But it seems to me that we've come up there and would get some. My dad worked for the city of Detroit, and would get roasted sandwiches and such. But yeah, I remember there kind of being a gap and stuff. I remember my friend down the street in Detroit, you know, his uncle used to live up kind of there in Clinton Township. I remember, you know, then things kind of got developed and now a lot of stuff has, you know, become vacant, but it used to be pretty full up and busy and all. But I imagine the freeway changed some things too. So Roseville and Clinton Township, Fraser. Yeah, Fraser's changed quite a bit too. I would imagine that there wasn't much around Fraser when you were growing up.
Yeah, you're right. It was it was there, but it wasn't. I don't think it was quite as populated as Roseville there, but one of my favorite places in Roseville there was the Bushimi's on Gratiot, just south of 13 on east side there. Man, they have good pizza. That was my first introduction to deep dish pizza. Man, did I love that stuff.
Oh yeah, then that was, there's the one there, and then there was the one in East Point. Yeah, my cousins would go there, and then we'd end up, you know, as I got a little older, I'd go there myself. But yeah, you're right, yep, still there. I think that was like the main one, I'm not sure. I think in the back there was kind of like, was they, now the Bushimi's is like taking over a lot of, where people franchise, I don't know how it all works, but it seems like a lot of these independent party stores are now tagged with Bushimi's, and sometimes they come, you know, there it comes and goes, you know, with the Bushimi's name on it for the pizza. Because you get the pizza by the slice and such. And I think they used to have the commissary back here, and it's right next to, it's just about almost right next to the post office, too.
Yeah, you're right. There was one in Lake Orion there, and then there's one now, a little party store over in Kegel Harbor, and or is it Orchard Lake? Anyway, right across from Cass Lake there. And it's a little party store, and I stopped in there, and they were selling pizza by the slice, and I looked at it, and I was, man, that looks pretty good, you know. He said, yeah, those are Buscemi's pizzas. And I said, oh, give me two pieces. So every once in a while, I go by there, I stop in and grab a couple.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't know they had branched out that far. Interesting. Oh, well, that's... Rick, I'm going to jump out of here, get a... Get it, check out a few things, check to see if, you know, some, you know, check with some associates and see if they got some work they have to do here. So I'm going to kind of run. Nice to talk to you, you and Aaron Sean, and then Tom out there on the side. So it's 7-3. We'll hope to talk to you again. This is K-A-A-U-H-G.
Okay, Steve, been a pleasure talking with you there. Hope we can get to talk again there. You have a good one, and be careful out there. We'll catch you later. I think if Tom's still on the phone or busy there, I think I about time for breakfast. My stomach started to chew on my backbone. So you have a good one, 7-3, so we'll catch you later. K-E-W-O-J.
W-O-J, Z-S-K.
Well, I'll be darned. Look what happens when you don't lock the doors. How you doing, young man?
Pretty good. I hope you're doing well. Hope you're doing well. It's good to hear your voice. I'm driving between buildings here.
Well, I am fat, dumb, and ugly, same as always. How about you? You behaving yourself?
Yeah, pretty much. I'm trying, especially after all the sad news about K-8-P-A-M. Did you hear that?
I heard that, but nobody really knew what happened. He must have had something. Fill me in if you got any time.
Just a little bit. He was, you know, he's working like 7 days a week, 12 hours a day, and nobody watching out for him. Finally went to the doctors, finds out he's got leukemia, and he's got pneumonia, and they start the chemo, and the pneumonia took him, and he was gone. Very short period of time. It's very, very sad. So make sure you listen to those around you. And if they tell you, you know, you're overdoing it, listen to them, I guess, is what I get out of this one. Because this is incredibly sad. Just sad, sad.
Yeah, it is. I was shocked. I thought, man, whatever it was, came just kind of happened awful quick. And you don't have to worry about me overdoing anything. I can't really do anything at all. I go up a flight of stairs, and I'm panting like a marathon runner. Just ran 24 miles, so I really can't. In fact, most of my time is in bed, I think.
Rick, I'm going to say, I got to clear out of here. Okay, so you have a good one to work.
Okay, Keith, good to hear you. And you're wherever you pulled into, you're kind of fading out there. So have a good one there, and be careful out there. We'll catch you later. I bet you're looking forward to that retirement coming up. Anyway, catch you later. K-E-A-W-O-J. K-C-A-K-J-O, Tom, you still out there? Who's that? K-E-A-W-O-J, obviously.
W-A-P-D.
You're connected to CMN Network.
N-A-W-R-O. Good morning, Wally. How was your trip out west?
It wasn't bad. We had a good time. Turned out well. Stopped at Lucky's on the way back. Had a steak that was really, really good, and spent some time with the family, so it went well.
kind of the opposite direction here. Sue came from Eaton Rapids and dropped by for a visit with her family on this side. So that was nice for Saturday. But other than that, nothing much. Did the snow in the driveway today. I thought I was done with that, but no. It was a snow removal morning.
I have not been that ambitious yet. Oh, the other thing we did is Mitch took all the kids and myself to the fire station at Lansing, Station 1. Pretty impressive. They still use fire poles there, you know, so when they're up there sleeping and they got to go down, they still got the brass pole, which is, I said, how do you guys get away with that? And they said, we're grandfathered in. And they said, if you can't fight on that pole, you don't belong here.
Yeah, now that's pretty cool, but I could understand that. You can't build the new stations with that in place. It'd have to be a grandfather thing. I don't know, just waking up, you're kind of sleepy and you miss, you don't grab it. Ooh, ow, that would hurt. Ouch.
Yeah, and the doors, they're like trap doors. So you have to grab onto the pole and put your weight on the pole for the doors to open up. You follow me? So if you're walking by it or something, you can't really fall through it. But when you grab on the pole and put your weight on the pole, yeah, that's what opens up the doors. So I've never seen that. You know, I always seen it, you know, where it's just been one big open hole. So, but yeah, it was pretty cool. They got some nice equipment there. I was pretty impressed. They got an electric side-by-side that they actually had to take it in. It's a new side-by-side. They actually had to take it in and have it slowed down because they were worried about somebody getting hurt in it.
Oh, that's interesting. Never heard of that before. I assume they got a ladder truck at that station?
A ladder truck, pumpers, two pumpers, ladder truck, three ambulances, a rubber boat, a golf cart, two side-by-sides, a couple other things there that were smaller. But, yeah, they had a lot of nice toys.
All righty, good deal. Well, you got a little extra tour there you probably weren't expecting.
No, but I enjoyed it more than the Science Center.
I thought you'd be really enthused about the Winlink exhibit over there.
That was in the museum of the 1940s. Wink, wink.
Along with the old teletype machines and Tom Edison's key, you know, that he did for the railroad. All righty, sounds good. Where are you off to today?
I've got to go to the office. I got a bunch of estimates and quotes that I was supposed to do last week, but I got lazy. Are you at your office right now?
Yes, correct. I'm in the house, had breakfast, got the coffee, I'm on desk duty. What's up?
I'll call you on the back phone.
Copy that. NAWRO, clear.
Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
KB8ZUZ, KF8SUW, radio check.
Copy
You're connected to CMN Network.
KJL.
Wonderful.
You sounded terrible.
I'll get a little better here in a minute.
Got some itches and scratches going on.
How you doing, Tom? Kind of lost you this morning when you got that phone call.
Yeah, that's how my day starts, one phone call after another. Been an on and off the phone for the past 2 hours since.
Yowzer, how many stops you got to make today?
We did one in West Bloomfield, 15 in Telegraph, and we ended up at Hamlin and Squirrel. And then we're heading out to Livonia, and then from there we got to go up to Flint.
Ah, he was in my neck of the woods this morning. Boy, oh boy, you sure covered the ground, that's for sure.
Yeah, I do my best to get around. Not only that, it's my coworker and I, we've been on and off the phone with this one tech in Plano, Texas. We've been walking a couple techs through throughout the U.S. on some changes on some controllers that happened last week. So we got 8 out-of-state techs calling us for us to walk them through over the phone and give them some guidance on it.
Oh, aren't you lucky? Every time I see an update to anything anymore, Windows or ASL3 or Red Note or whatever kind of thing, I'm real nervous. Half the time I just cancel them.
Well, these are door controllers, and we got a letter from the manufacturer. It says after this date, this type of encryption isn't going to work. You got to migrate everything over. Well, some of them didn't get it in time, and so the controllers are locked up, and the head end, the customer at the head end can't get into them to do the changes, so my coworker and I have been doing them, here in Michigan, in our area, and there's not all of them, but there's some of them, and then we got 8 different states that had issues, so... So, like, call these two guys up here in Michigan. They'll walk you through it. So that's what we've been doing. We did it most of the day Friday and most of the morning today.
Well, they are lucky to have you guys to straighten this stuff out, that's for sure. So what, you got to do some kind of firmware update or something?
What, 100%. Exactly what we're doing. Walking them through how to do the firmware update, and once they get done with that, then we show them how to program the IP addresses back in and change the encryption level from 2 to 3, and then save it all and reboot it, and then it should reboot itself and reconnect to the main computer and update itself from there.
Oh, gotcha. So, have you had any more new toys or any more fun? Did you have any do anything fun over the weekend?
Went through a bunch of junk in my mother-in-law's basement. And then helped my brother-in-law find some Section 8 housing. You know, because he's going to be without a residence very soon when the bank takes the house back. So he's going to find a new place. So we did that. Oh, and I put my solar charger up for my ring camera.
Must be having a little hiccup here with my clear node today. I can see that you transmit, but I only get about half the audio. The first half of it, there's a good signal, but no audio, and then all of a sudden the audio comes in, so I think I got something weird going on over here.
Yeah, I'm hearing you just fine. I mean, I'm on the CMN Detroit tower, so I should be getting out pretty good.
Tom, I'm going to let you go there. I don't know if you're still getting me or not there, but I know you're a busy guy there, and I don't want you getting in an accident. So have yourself a good one there, and we'll catch you later. TEAWJ.
All right, Rick, sounds good. Yeah, I just got another radio going off in my ear, and I got to make a phone call back in Texas. I'll talk to you later. I'll be in and out throughout the day. TEAKJO.
Okay, take her easy, my friend. 73 KEAWJ.
Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network.
WEKLL in the mobile.
Connected to CMN Network.
7, CK testing.
WDKLO.
KFA-DIC.
KFA-DRC. Jack, how you doing, buddy? WDAKLO.
I'm doing fine. How about you? I haven't heard you out there at all.
I haven't heard anybody over here on the repeater side. I've been hanging out on HF.
Yeah, I've been down on HF too. Not around here, but it really is. HF is the best.
Yeah, I'm out right now just doing some errands. What a nice day, huh? A little bit of sunshine up here.
Yeah, over here, sunshine too. Not too bad at all. It was snowing last night. Didn't get that much, maybe a quarter inch or a half inch. But now it's almost gone.
Yeah, very good. All right, Jack, I'm getting ready to run into the store here. Good to hear you, my friend. We'll chat with you later on. WD8KLO will be clear after yours.
Great. Take care. KF8PRC.
KF8DRC, KF8DRC, KE4ZYQ. KF8DRC, KF8DRC, KE4ZYQ. Negative contact, KF8DRC, KE4ZYQ, clear.
KK7CK test.
KE8RUH.
You're connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
Did it get colder? What the hell?
WDAKLO.
Did you turn the thermostat down? W8FSM, W8FU.
WDAKLO.
W8FU.
W8FU, W8RCY. Yes, it's definitely gotten colder out. I was out this morning. It was warmer than what it is now. Plus the wind's picked up a bit.
Oh, yeah, I walked out and it's like, you know, plus it's breezy. And it's colder than it was this morning. I'm like, what the hell? Anyhow, as Professor Don would say, what the hell?
I was up outside briefly before the sun came up, and there was really no wind. And when I went out about an hour ago, I was out. I had to pick up a DoorDash thing from Dollar General, picked up some staples and stuff. I went out there with just a light jacket on, and boy, that wind was whipping like crazy. But up here in the mini engine in the sky. Heat's not on, and the blinds are open, but the glass is nice and warm, so it's definitely almost shorts weather up here.
Well, when I try to find my place like that, I'm going to do that. I'm going to try to find the tallest place I can find and get the top floor. So, and then a place where I can sneak out onto the roof.
Well, when I put in for this campus here, I just asked for the highest floor you can give me with a balcony. That's all I wanted. And they gave me the highest floor, which is the 8th. It has balconies because the 9th obviously does not. But and I'm on the back side, so I don't have to deal with cars and traffic as much. So, and, you know, you've been up here. You know what it's like. So definitely I couldn't ask for a better location, really. But then again, now that I'm more into radio, I wish maybe a couple times I was on the north side of the building versus the south side. But then again, I got a shot to Detroit, so I can point out an antenna that way if I end up going that route with a beam.
I don't know that you need a beam. Just get yourself a stick, put it outside X50 or something like that. Find a way to put it out there on the balcony. Clamp it to the rail, whatever. Put a flag on it. Clamp it to the rail and put a flag on it. But I don't think you need a beam. Anywho, I should go down. A friend of mine got a place. He's in the book building, the book Cadillac, and he's way up. And he's he's like 30 some stories up. And now you're singing. I'd like to find the penthouse on a really tall building. Of course, any place that'd be worth having would be way out of my price range.
Most likely yours and mine both. I've even, considered moving downtown with all the renovations and stuff that are doing. And a couple summers ago, I was down there for the Grand Prix, and I went on a Wednesday during some of the preliminary build. I'm walking around when we're on break, and I'm looking at some of these units, and they're smaller than mine, and they cost like twice as much. And I said, nope. Plus, you got to pay Detroit taxes. You can't get away from that.
Oh, yeah. If you're right downtown, I mean, studio, small studio, a few hundred square feet, going to set you back a couple of grand. It's nice. No question about it. When you look at all the other amenities that they offer you, all you really do in your room is flop and, watch cat videos and maybe make yourself a little something. But, you got usually the nicer places have a big commons area and they have a party area you can rent. You just think it's a different style of living. You get, in essence, a suite in the building. So it's pretty cool, but yeah, you're looking at kind of a $2,000 to ante up from there.
That new construction they built on DeQuinder, just north of you, about a half a mile or so north of you. I think we used to pass it on the way to Ramshorn when we were having breakfast there. Is that new facility on the Madison Heights side? Those are like $3,500 a month, and I'm trying to think how in the heck a senior citizen can afford $3,500 a month. I mean, that's, your Social Security is like right around $3,500 to $4,000 a month if you get the full spectrum. And it's like, gee whiz, how can you afford to live there of all places? Granted, that those kind of facilities provide three meals a day and everything else. Now, like I say, I've said it a million times, I may not live in the Taj Mahal, but I've got I'm pretty comfortable here, and the amenities that I do have I really don't have to go out much, and if I do go out much, I got everything I need within a half a mile of either direction, including a White Castle.
Yeah, everything's about, you have to weigh this and that. If you want it all, if you want the best locations and the best views and the highest, and the fanciest and all that stuff, well, you're going to pay dearly for that. You got to give something up. And you're probably doing more like what I would do. But I didn't know what that place was, North Bay. I didn't know what the ballpark would be. But don't surprise me. It's a lot of cash, so you can buy a pretty nice place, pay your utilities, and I guess it's because they provide all the services, right? So that money includes everything. You don't have to pay for nothing. You have to pay for insurance or maintenance or anything, and they include meals. So that's a turnkey price for everything, I'm assuming.
Well, this went from assisted living to independent living, and the kitchen area is pretty much shut down now. That was even before I got here 12 years ago, but that's a major change. And they bring in medical, things like that. Before COVID, we had dental, we had everything but optical here, I could say. And now we've got everything but dental back and optical. But they're making arrangements to get these companies slowly coming back now. That's the goal for 2026.
Oh, no, I was more speaking to the place north of me there, the 3,500. For 3,500, they include everything, right? That's what I was asking.
W-8-R-C-Y. That place would, yeah, for that price, yeah, you don't have to go anywhere. They cook three meals a day, full staff, everything. Some medical, I guess, is on site or some kind of routine care. If there's a need there, we're here, most of the people have people come in, like, I can't think of the name of the company, or the organization, but if I needed, let's say, rehabilitation or something from an injury or a fall, this place wouldn't provide it, but I could easily get the aftercare treatment I can get, and this place will set you up with that. But in-house, no.
That's right. No, I'm just trying to wrap my head around that $3,500 number you gave me. So, and the place looks real nice. So, but it sounds like it's like a senior, like a living center or something like that. So you see those around. I always wondered what those would go for. Now, my aunt was, actually my wife's aunt, but my aunt through marriage, she was in that same complex as you, but she was in the West Towers, and she had, I think there was a pretty high level of assistance you could get there, but this was some years ago. This was at least 10 years ago, maybe 20, I don't know if it's 20, 10, 15 years ago, and there was a pretty high level of assistance that they would do there. She didn't have it. She was pretty much just whatever you said it, the word, but she came and go as she pleased, and whatever that level is.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Thank you, young lady, for the reminder. I moved in here in November of 2012 is when I moved in. No, 13, yeah, because I retired at the end of 2012. So it was about 2 years before I got here that it went from assisted living to independent living, and that's when, like I said, the kitchen closed down and everything else. But that's the big difference right there. And That's when the companies changed. This used to, I can't remember the name of it before National Church Residences. I think it was called, oh gosh, it's right on the tip of my tongue. It'll probably come to me after I disconnect our conversation. But, a lot's changed just before I got here. And then a lot has changed since COVID. You know, we were shut down for a good 2 years, 2020 through 2022, and some of the stuff is slowly coming back, but it's happening in some people's minds too slow. I'm just thankful I have a roof over my head. Some people aren't even thankful for that because all they do is complain. Do you remember when they talked about this, this, and this? I said, yeah, but we also lost 2 years and a lot of money and a lot of funding because of COVID. You know, just be thankful you got a roof over your head.
Buy yourself a mobile home in the country and then get yourself some Guatemalan women to come in and take care of the assisted living, clean and cook and all that stuff for you, and live like a king.
When I was originally married, I was living in the same subdivision. I was one of the original people in the subdivision where my significant other lives out there, 2394 in Donner area. That subdivision right there off the freeway in the park and ride by the new sheets. And eventually when we all moved out of the area, one of my neighbors and his wife got transferred back to Minnesota. And unfortunately, she was killed in a bad accident and when they got back out there. And he took it so hard, he actually lives pretty much off the grid in Minnesota in sort of like a, I don't want to call it a mobile home, but it's kind of like that. It's more like a couple of sheds glued together, I guess you could say. And he's off the grid, and another one of my former neighbors is the only one he talks to. But when he lost his wife, it was never the same. But that's how he lives. And, you know, I don't know how he's doing to survive a job or anything like that. But when I talked to my other neighbor on the other side, I said, you know, how's this person doing? And he said, oh, he's still out there. You know, he's doing all right, but he's not the same since his wife was killed. So living off the grid in Minnesota, of all places, as cold as that place gets, I don't know if I want to do that, but, yeah, I guess it is doable.
I think if it weren't for my my wife's limitations, I'd probably be looking at going more remote in my golden years. But I do like the city. I'm a city guy, so you know, I like people watching and going to a bustling urban area, like going downtown, Ferndale, Royal Oak, and things like that. I like the restaurant scene, and I like all that. So like being able to bicycle the things, you know. And so I could live either way, but I think if I didn't have the the need to kind of stay more urban, I think I may consider and look at rural. There's a lot to be said about that as well, but there's no right answer for me. But I'm flexible. I could live on a couch with my coat rolled up for a pillow. I'm about as easy as it gets when it comes to accommodations. I just don't care.
WIM.
I believe I heard a breaking station in there. I didn't hear your call sign. You were a little bit on the rough side, but go ahead, sir. Welcome to the conversation. W8RCY.
KRCY, it's WY8M. Sean, just wanted to give you a heads up. There's a new restaurant going in at 13 and Mound in that new strip mall on the Mound side. And it's called something like Ichiban Ngu or something, N-G-U. And does that sound Vietnamese to you?
I don't know, but I will be going by there momentarily. I'm just I'm on 13 right now, and I'm just coming up on Van Dyke. So I'll look. But Ichiban, I think, is more kind of Japanese, which is it's quite a bit different, this thing. And I like that too. But I don't think I've been there. I think there are a few of those. How you doing, Arp?
Hanging in there. Was at Menards earlier doing the big box walk, get my cardio in, also to just get out of the house. Anyway, just wanted to give you a heads up on that because I'm not, the reason I was thinking Vietnamese is because there's that NGU type word at the end, and I think I've seen that same, like, surname type thing on several other local restaurants. So that's why I was thinking that. Anyway, go ahead, RCY. I'm going to bow out and continue listening. WNM.
Oh, no, you're welcome anytime. But anyways, yeah, so like I was saying, Sean, I lost my train of thought because you guys started talking about food. But, yeah, Ichiban with me would sound like Japanese or some other form of culture, maybe Vietnamese. But that would have been my guess. Because I've heard Ichiban in the days of Shogun and Japanese. What was the other one? It was one at 15 in Ryan. I used to frequent one of those Japanese sit-down hibachi grills. And I remember the word Ichiban being used back then. That was back in the early 80s, 80, 85.
Yeah, that covers the itchy, but the I don't think it was Bon. I think it's that Nugent. It's NG. I think there's a Y in there for the Vietnamese flavor. And it's Nugent. There's a lot of Vietnamese people named Nugent. And that's how it's spelled. I can't remember exactly, but I am going to be going by there, and I am so curious. Now, I'm assuming it's going to be on the west side of Mound, north 13, where the flower place used to be out on the corner in the billiard joint, somewhere in there.
Yeah, it's the strip mall that's right on Mound. It'd be about halfway between Dave's Hot Chicken and the pizza place whose name, for some reason, Green Lantern, yeah. And this sign at the top of the building, it says, you know, Ichiban NGU coming soon. Have you waited up?
NGUYEN would be the spelling. And Yugen or something like that. And the strip mall, I remember it, but the billiard hall was, I think, called Green Acres. The mall, the whole complex. I remember the billiard hall because I spent a few hours there chasing balls around a table back in my youth.
Yeah, that whole center is called Green Acres. I spent a lot of time in my youth there. When we were kids, we used to go up there, and that whole old village Warren area at Mound and, why am I drawing a blank? Yep. We used to play in the woods. That was south side of 13 Mile Road there. But, okay, let's see. Here I am now. And I see the Green Lantern and the Dave's Hot Chicken. Ichiban soon. I don't see the... I'm going to turn in there and check it out just so I know what we're talking about. I think they're a chain. So we'll probably find them online and look at their fare. We got a place up by me. I forget what it's called exactly, but it's a ramen place, something ramen. And they're kind of more Japanese-oriented. Oh, God, I love that place. It's not pho. You know, pho is pho, but the ramen is, it's a similar, it's a rice noodle dish and all that. So it's got its own unique flavors and textures and things like that. But I'm a big fan of pho. And I'll tell you what, I don't know if you've had it, the place at pretty much kind of across from the old Ramshorn, which is now going to be Crave. Anyhow, the place that's street from the Rams were in there, maybe just a little north and across the street. Outstanding five, best in the area.
Yeah, you've mentioned that before, because if you go south at Ramshorn, you end up at the funeral home. But I know exactly where you're talking about for sure. And yeah, Crave, I've already looked that up. And then the place you just mentioned, the ramen place, could be the one that I saw. I get new restaurant updates on my DoorDash, and there was a new one that just popped up that served ramen. In the middle of last week, I saw it, and I said, you know, maybe I'll give that a try, because I do like my soups, and, you can only eat so much wonton or egg drop soup when you order Chinese, so I am looking for something different. On DeQuinder, south of 11 Mile Road, as you head south, on the east side, which would be the Warren side, there at the end of the strip mall, where Big Lots used to be, and I think Grace Center's a whole other store is still there. There used to be the Crash Landing Bar, and next door to Crash Landing Bar was a place, Ponderosa, Silverman's, Seasons Restaurants, back where my ex-wife used to work. But that place now is, I think, a fob place. Is that place any good? Because I see when I go by there, sometimes it's packed, sometimes it's, like, deserted.
All right, it's Ichiban Go. G-O, not N-G-O. Coming soon. So it's like Ichiban to Go is the way they're saying it. Your new way to hibachi, Asian grill and sushi. So my guess is they're going to have a Japanese kind of a flair. Good to know. They got this pita way here, which is okay. I've been there. And Green Lantern's always good. What else do they got in here? Dunkin' Donuts, Baskin Robbins, which are kind of the, one and the same. Dave's Hot Chicken. And then the billiard joint, the spa. So there you go. Ichiban. I will have to put it on my list of things to do.
Well, the new place there at the old Ramshorn Crave looks interesting for sure. That would be a place to put on the bucket list this summer for sure, to check that place out. There's another place I read about earlier out, well, I've been there before, but I've not been there since it's changed the name. When I lived out there in 1981 to 85, 86, and I know you guys have been there, Strawberry Fields used to be known as just Fields Restaurant back in the day, and I've never gone back, and Joe and I have never really gone there either. Well, no, I think she's been there, but we haven't gone there together, and I still would like to go back and try that one day when I'm out there with her.
Yeah, I like that place. It's, you know, it's not, you know, must go, but when I'm out that way, it's definitely one of the places I'd pick. When, you know, no special trip or anything like that, but it's a good solid, you know, American fare. Everything I've had there is pretty good, so that's as good of an endorsement as you can give.
Yeah, we're kind of like, you know, we've gone by and said, you know, we got to try this place. Yeah, well, next time, and usually we don't go next time because sometimes we even have Murphy with us, and if Murphy's in the vehicle, we can't bring him in the restaurant. But, yeah, so even when we hook up for the weekends, we go out and we'll hit the store or hit one of the Leong Chinese food places. There's one at 21 in Gratiot, and there's one on 23 Mile in Seton, which I think is the first major light past the 94 and Donner traffic lights there as you head east towards New Baltimore. Leong's at 21 and Leong's at 23, and same owners, two different locations. We'll pick up a bunch of food and just hunker down for the weekend or order pizza or something. And Joe was raised on Bushimi's. And we got that Bushimi's right there. So she likes her Bushimi's, and I like my thin crust pizza regardless if it's from Marco's or any other place. I just like seeing crust pizza. So, yeah, that's our hookups.
Yeah, you said something there, and I said, you know, Don, KBB, and I, you know, we couldn't agree more. We can't, you know, when we got Murphy in the car with us, we can't go anywhere. We can't take him in a restaurant. Nope, nobody listening. All right. What else was I going to mention? I had something else there I was going to cover, but I wanted to try to get that joke in. Carpet probably knows that. He knows what I'm talking about. Ah, geez. There's a little place, speaking of places I want to get to, I'm in the neighborhood here. I just drove past the place with a Ukrainian flag flying. It made me think there's a little restaurant in Windsor called Ukrainian Restaurant. That's all it's called. The little old boucher that runs is like 93 years old. It's like you walk in, she has, sit, I make you food. And it's like going to grandma's house. And it's been on my list of things to do for 10 years now, and I still haven't got over there to do it. Now, I don't know if after Sunday they're going to allow us over there, but I do got to get there for the Ukrainian from Busha before it's too late. She's 93.
Oh, yeah, those kind of restaurants, you know, family-owned, and they're getting up there in years and everything else. Those are the places for sure. I remember a couple of them growing up. Going to Hamtramck, there were some places. That's the thing I got to do is maybe go back through Hamtramck one more time. I have not been through Hamtramck probably even before I was divorced, and I've been divorced, 36 years now, and coming up on 37. So I have not been through Hamtramck in forever, and some of the old, I know some places are closed and gone, but I mean, I haven't even been to Buddy's in I don't know how long, and that's on the north end of the city, right there at the border between Detroit and Hamtramck. But yeah, there's a lot of places I would like to go back to as I remember growing up, or even, you know, between the ages of 10 and 25 that I used to frequent, and don't even know how many of them are still around.
Yeah, so many places are gone now. That's all right. I'm just pulling up here at home. God, I've seen a record number of idiots that can't follow directions. Put their stickers on their plate in the right spot. I just saw one that had like four of them all over his plate, everywhere but like where it's supposed to go. It drives me up the wall, these idiots. And then I started looking. All the people that put it right in the center between the letters and the numbers. I'm like, my God, what is wrong with you? All right, I'm home. Thanks for the drive. We'll catch you in a bit. After you. W8FU.
All righty then. Glad to share the ride with you and talk about food and things like that. I'm not even hungry right now. But, yeah. So get in, get out of your work clothes, you know, put on the comfy sweats, put your feet up on the footstool, couch, or whatever, and just relax and stay warm, because like I said, the way the conversation started, yeah, it did get cold for sure, and I'm on an app with my phone, so I can't see the weather right now, but it has dropped for sure. Have a great evening. You know I'll be listening. I'm listening in the morning. Heard you guys talking about hogs or pigs or something, whatever you guys were going to go out and shoot. I don't know. I don't even remember, but have a good evening. Relax. W8RCY, that's what we're doing. We're chilling on the couch.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
KCK2. KE8RUH.
KC8KJO.
What's up, Tom? How you doing this afternoon?
Tired, worn out, got a headache. On my way home, though.
I can sympathize with the tired and worn out. Luckily, I do not have a headache at the moment, but it is something about the day. I'm exhausted.
Connected.
Yeah, I woke up with my left eye swollen. So I figured I had allergies from all the crap I was in yesterday and all the dust being moved around. So I took a Benadryl and I think that is in the end.
Well, hopefully you start feeling better. Never fun to feel that crummy on top of being exhausted.
Been spending an hour on some type of hold with this tech support group that doesn't know their career from a hole in the ground. And every time I ask them what's going on, it's always, wait a minute, I'm checking into something. And I'm like, you know, dude, stop looking at your script and send me to somebody who can. And he didn't want to get off the phone with me. He didn't want to pass me on, you know, just overseas. And then finally, after 57 minutes, he sent us over to a tech. And the guy says, oh, you got to do this, this, and this. 5 minutes. And it was done. While the other guy had me sit there on hold for an hour.
Oh, man, that's so frustrating. It's not surprising, but super frustrating.
Oops, I got you.
I didn't get that. It was sounded like you were in the wind.
There, I didn't want to key up. No, I said, instead of sitting there and leading me on for an hour, why don't you send me to somebody that actually knows?
Yep, that is so frustrating. I am glad I'm in very few situations that I have to do that and stay on with tech support.
Oh, I hear Lance in there. AV8Y, go ahead and throw it over to Anthony, KCKTO. Let's do that again.
I'm not sure. It might be on my end, but I am getting a ton of interference. I got to check my antenna when I get home. Am I sounding all right? Am I getting out all right, Tom?
Oh, yeah, you're getting up on me, and I wasn't keying up the repeater. Don't understand that one. And I look down, I'm like, I'm not even getting a green light or a red light. I'm like, huh.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, there's just a ton of... It doesn't sound normal. You're usually coming in a lot clearer than you are right now, so I don't know. Like I said, not sure if it's on my end, on your end, or somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, I don't get it. For some reason, every time I hit the mic, it's not keying up sometimes. I was on Warren, now I jumped over to Detroit.
I'm going to jump over to Detroit also, see if that changes anything. Not on Detroit also. Yeah, there's something definitely weird going on. It sounded like you keyed up two or three times just there. That was weird.
Yeah, I don't know if it's my radio or not. I mean, I'm moving it around. For some reason, it just wasn't keying up.
Huh. Well, hopefully you can figure it out. But I am pulling up in the driveway here, so I'll catch up with you a little bit later. K-E-8-R-U-H, and I'll be clear on your final.
All right, sounds good. 73 to you. Yeah, I'm moving my mic around. I don't know, for some reason it was like clicking and then unclicking. Crazy.
Super clear. So hopefully you'll get it figured out.
Yeah, unless my fusion is bouncing over when I have it on, you know, on the A channel is fusion, so maybe that's what it.
Could be. All right, I'll catch up with you later. I'm pulling out of the car, pulling in the driveway now, and I'll be hopping out of the car. K-E-8-R-U-H.
K-E-8-R-U-H.
Well, hi, Tom.
What's up, Tommy?
How are you this afternoon?
Try it again. I had my volume down. WD.
Hello, Dave. Hello, Wally. I'll be in here for a bit, I guess. Just cruising on home.
Okay, I'm not certain who the other station was. I'm guessing Wally, since you recognize him. I don't. Good afternoon, Wally. Turn it over to you. Well, Tom, look what you're doing to me. I set up DM32s over the weekend, so I got DMR. System fusion to follow, I guess. Maybe you have to give me a good recommendation for a mobile that would do it. I'm assuming Yates do it. Anywho, turn it over to Wally. If you could, could you kindly tell me what your call sign is to see if I can correlate your name to your call sign? My name is Dave. My call is WA. Heading home from work. Boy, it's a nice sunny day. I'm soaking this up instead of all the overcast days.
My call is WA Victor Delta, WADD. I usually say it fast. And I get from as well. And I'm also one of the locals here. I've been kind of busy at work the last week or so, but around a lot. And if you're going to go with the Fusion Radio, you only have one choice. You have to go ahead and be a Yaesu Radio. So they're the only ones that are making it kind of proprietary. DMR, there's lots of choices. Motorola being the best, and NHTone being, in my opinion, the second best. Who else was there? I can't remember. Go ahead, WB.
Ooh, I don't know if that's me coming in or what, Wally, but sounds like your antenna's loose the way you're coming in and out, so you might want to check your NMO again. And you got that new fancy schmancy antenna, too.
Is it still messing up?
That seemed to be pretty good.
Hey, Dave, are you having a hard time hearing me, or is it just Tom?
I also was having a little bit scratchiness, but since he told you, and I don't know if you tightened up your connection, you're coming through full quiet now. I don't hear anything now.
I'm wondering if it's just a certain spot on my road, because the last time that Tom complained about it, I was at the same spot. I'm wondering if there isn't something that's happened over there, somebody throwing out some sort of RF mix or something of that nature. Don't know. All right. Tom, who else was there?
of you and me?
Yeah, you sound a little bit better now. Like it could have been just a RFI zone that we don't know about. But there's no meeting tonight, right? We're all good to go. I'm going home. I got a blasting headache.
There's none that I'm aware of. Maybe Tim would know.
Well, I couldn't tell you about the meeting, Tom. Wally will come back and let you know. And sorry to hear about the blasting headache there. Give me a bit of some liquor when you get home. I don't know. Depends whether or not you have more of a headache when you get home.
Okay, I'm trying to figure out if my mic is loose or something like that. It was clicking off on me. No, I don't go through any of that stuff. I took a couple of Tylenol. That'll do it. I'll just go sit back and relax.
What radio are you talking on, Tom?
Well, Wally, I'm not certain what radio he's talking on. He might have got a phone call in the meantime, then. Tom? Okay, well, all we know right now is a silent radio. No, I don't know really right now. I have to wait for him to come back here. Let's see here. Well, Wally, are you heading home from work like us, or you're tired, or what?
I could be retired, but I'm still working. And I just pulled in the driveway, so I'm going to chat with you guys a little later. And I might play with my antenna tonight and see if there's something wrong with it. So, well, you know what else I could do? Just a second.
I think I gotta order a new mic. Looks like I got a little braiding hanging out there. See what it is.
Well, if you were trying to respond back to Wally, yes, you were not coming through. He had asked you what kind of radio you're on, and I don't know if you had heard him. He is currently at the home, so let me pause and see if you want to talk anymore. Wally, WATD from WARIT.
No, I gotta order. I think the clip on the side of the radio, I got some braiding on it, so I think that's what's causing it. Because I got it on and I'm moving it around, and I don't know if it's just the shielding on it, but I'll talk to you later, Wally, since you're pulled into the hangar. KCGO.
What that gives the software? DSB Plus. And I was using that to decode and produce audio, and it also tells you what the DCC code is. So I thought I programmed all that in and still have no success. What else would I be missing, Tom, for maybe just reception on a DMR system, commercial radio? Anything else that I should have in there besides the, well, obviously the frequency and then the DCC? Anything else you can think of?
Well, you need the color code, you need the time slot, and the inbound, outbound frequency. And that should be it that I can think of. Oh, also too, you gotta set, instead of always admit, you have to send it to color code 3. Not only that, but you gotta get your DMR ID. And after your DMR ID, you got to go to the Central Michigan Emergency Network, go to their DMR page, and join their the Google forum. That way you get alerts when they take over the DMR during certain events.
Okay, just dragged my feet there for Wally. I did register for my radio ID, or yeah, my whatever the call it, the website is. although I've got to go back because I don't think I, whatever I did, I don't think I think I registered, but I don't think I set it up for DMR ID yet. So I'm going to take a look when I get back home for that. I did see that. I think I have everything set then, the inbound and outbound frequency, which I'm guessing, and I'm not certain, maybe you correct me if I'm wrong in this, will they always be the same frequency for the inbound and outbound, or will it be like a repeater where there's an offset? That could be a potential there. I do, and then refresh me on the DC, you said the DCC has to be 3, because when I'm receiving it with the audio from my SDR, if I'm currently listening on the DMR radio, I have it, the software tells me that it's supposed to be DCC 7. Maybe fill me in more than that. Will the color code always be the same? And yes, I do have the time slot because it does show me time slot 1 and 2 for the voice panel that's currently being used. And it shows voice or time slot number 1.
One is time slot 1, 52 is time slot 2, 53 is time slot 1, 54 is time slot 2, and the color code is always going to be color code 1.
Okay, well you confuse me now about the 51, 52, and 53, 54 because my radio does not have that. Are you referring to the programming for the Siemens repeater?
Talk group 51 is the main talk group, 52 is the secondary talk group, and then the rest are events 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Okay, I'll have to check that out later. I'm probably going to see if I can get that done once I get my DMR radio ID performed, get that, then worry about programming. But I was more or less concerned about receiving off of the business band repeater.
Oh, I don't know what the business band stuff is. I just know 51 through 56, you know, Central Michigan non-network for DMR.
Okay, yeah, I figured I was going to do my radio ID first before I even start farting around trying to get the Siemens program. I'll do that secondary once I get my radio ID done here. That'd be something I'm going to head on when I take a look when I head home. See about what I missed because I don't think I registered it. I think all I did was just log myself in, get myself set up with an account. So let me ask you this: when you do your, I've only got one DMR radio. If I had two radios, would I have a radio ID for each one of the radios, or is it just specific to you personally?
You gotta get your DMR ID, and then once you get that, you put it in all your DMR radios. I said I got a DM32, a DM1701, a TYTMB UV380, and a Retevis 3. And they all have the same DMR ID in it. And then, of course, I got my open spot.
Okay, yeah, I was just wondering if it was, so it sounds like it's just set for you specifically, regardless of what radio you're using. I was just curious if it was something like you had to get a separate radio ID for each one of the radios so it would recognize each of the radios. I see you just put your radio ID in, which is kind of listed to you across all of them. And I was looking at the, not that I have any need for it, but I was looking at the DM32. I kind of skimmed through the manual a little bit, didn't fully read it yet, but I saw that you could put one in for, if you had the need for it, you could have one DMR ID for amateur radio, then one for business band. That way you can use the radio for both. But yeah, I'd like to see if I can figure out what I'm not doing properly here. Does your radio ID need to be done first before you have reception? I wouldn't think so, but is it maybe something prohibiting me?
You have to get a DMI, you have to get a DMRID first. And then you have to program that into the radio where it says radio ID.
WIX.
Hi Chris, over to you.
Hi David. If you get into any of the digital codecs, you're going to have to register with the authority that governs it. So you want to get on P25, NXTN, DMR, Fusion, D-Star, you got to sign up for it. There's no listening to it and not, you know, because then when you want to transmit, if you don't have the ID, the system doesn't recognize you. Now, I'm going to make a few enemies here. I was on DMR when it first came out, and it was great. Now it sucks because the guys that came up with DMR only have two time slots to play with. Public safety has like 28 of them, and they might have maybe 100 talk groups. In amateur radio, they got over 40,000 talk groups, only two time slots. Say the time slot you want to be on is worldwide, and maybe TAC-2 or TAC-25 is also on the same time slot, and it's busy, you get a busy signal. And you got to wait until they're done. And if they're in a long rag queue, you might as well go to time slot 1 and see if you can make a call there, but you can't do it on worldwide because it's on time slot 2. And it's not like that everywhere. What they need in DMR is more time slots, so they... What's the sense in having 4,000 talk groups if you only have two time slots? There's a lot of guys out there listening and waiting, and it sucks.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Time slots, like, per frequency, which might be... Well, yeah, I'm not certain how DMR works when you tie it into the internet through other nodes and such, so maybe, yeah. I just thought it was just independent for frequencies, that each frequency would have the two time slots per that system. And sort of like channel 1 and channel 2, I guess, or somewhat, I guess. Tom?
What happened to Tom?
I think he's having some issues with his PTT button, not operating properly here.
No, it's usually one time slot, one channel. Next time slot, the other channel. And then, you know, they don't, it doesn't, the time slot does not pick the channel. They set it up that way. So if you're on 442.175 and it's on time slot 1, it could never be on time slot 2. That's just a generalization. But I left DMR when DMR was big in Southeast Michigan. It was a guy named Colin, WCMC, had a fantastic network. He had about like 15 different repeaters set up on 2 meters and on 440, and it worked great. Colin's job moved to Florida. Colin moved to Florida. The system died. Now the repeaters are still there, but they don't have any internet connectivity, so they're all basically local machines now. Go to D-Star, get yourself a D-Star radio. They've got thousands of reflectors, and I haven't been kicked out of any of them yet.
Well, hold on, let me pause here a minute, quickie. Okay, just wanted to drag my feet there, see if Tom was able to jump in. I don't know, maybe some contacts with your eyes. Well, I'm going to be getting into it slowly. that will probably be my next one. I'm thinking from what I've been told, from what I've gathered, system fusion seems to be the predominant digital codec here in our local area, I guess. So that may be the next one. That may be D-Star or something. Grandmeister and All-Star, that'll be something to follow later on. May not even stick with that for very long. But, let's see here. Yeah, I was just asking you about, you know, some Yaesu radio. I may have to go browse around when I head down to Dayton this year here. And he's going to ask for the Friday off for a vacation, but yeah, I'm going to be kind of slow getting into it, though, Chris, because like I said, even with all of it, still like to do HF.
I'm back, like I said, but I got problems with my mic, so I'm going to jump out here, guys. I'll talk to you later, Dave, at work or something. 73 Kia, W1NX, 73 Kia, nice meeting you. KKKKO.
W-I-8-X, Whiskey Indian 8-X. Have a good one, Tom. My name is Chris. Can ham radio interrupt sex? I mean stereos. It's a good phonetic, I swear. Same thing with fusion. You gotta get registered and everything else. And then when you get the number, you associate your call sign with the number. And whenever you get on the network, the other guy knows who you are because it shows up on the screen of his radio. When I was on it, I had a mobile rig and I had a handheld. Back when I got into it, you had to have a number for every radio. They don't have that now. You get one number, it's good for mobile or handheld or whatever. I still have the handheld. I got rid of the mobile, but I still have my handheld. It's a Motorola XPR6550. It's a UHF handheld. It'll do analog and Moto Turbo, which is also known as DMR. And it worked great. I can't use it now because it's got my old call sign on it. If I had the program to reprogram the radio, I would put my new call sign in and I'd be back on DMR. But I don't see the point. The system out here in town is dead. Grandmeister is the way to go. It actually works better than the old system did.
And W8RAT, yeah, all this is new to me, so I haven't even, I can't even say I've really even dabbled that with reception too much even. Well, here's something, Chris, I'm not really too certain of. You guys are saying for reception I would need a radio ID. I'm not certain why that is. I can see why that would be if you're transmitting, but I'm looking at just reception like on a business band frequency, you know, one that I'm not able to legally transmit on. I can receive it, you know, using the software, but I'm just not able to receive it using the radio. And I'm pretty certain it seems like I'm getting a good enough RF signal as far as strength, so I don't really think that's anything with it. I've got to take a look at some of the other settings, but doesn't really seem to be a whole lot that I would need to change the program for it. I was just kind of curious, though, if they're always, the transmit receive frequencies would always be the same, or if they ever have, like, an offset like we do for repeaters and such.
Yeah, that remains the same, except there's no tone. Because of the digital codec, you don't need a tone. With D-Star, on UHF, it's 5 meg split. Plus, on 2 meters, it's a 600 minus or plus. But there's no PL tone. The digital codec for that repeater sets it apart. And the same thing up on 1200. The thing is, D-Star is the only digital codec that can be used from 160 all the way up to 15 gigahertz, continuous. It's the only digital codec that, uses all of the ham bands. Fusion is 2 meters to 70 centimeters. DMR, 2 meters to 70 centimeters. P25 is VHF, UHF, and 800. And now they got some 900s. NXDN, VHF, UHF, 2 meters and 70 centimeters. Like, that's the other reason why I went to D-Star, because you could buy an ICOM 7100, which is HF radio that's got 2 meters and 70 centimeters and 6 meters in it. You can use the D-Star function on all of the bands. All of the bands. So, things to consider when getting into digital.
All right, very good. I was not aware that D-Star could be used on HF. Never heard it. What was that time? What was the other digital voice format? Pretty rare that I've heard that. Can't think of the name of the folks there. And then I talked with Dan, someone that that's what it's called by.
RY, and then it sends by call, and then it's and then somebody else picks up on it, and the machines are talking to each other, not the hams, and all the messages are tagged, name NMHR Chris, WR8X, break, and then the other machine sends the same information, their name, their QTH, their rig, whatever. Christ, we do that in CW. And you're working the guy. You're working the station. FT8 is a computer working a computer. And if you try and listen to the signal, all you hear is white noise. So you don't really need to have a commanding signal. A friend of mine's running like 2 watts on HF. He's worked the entire world. Can't get Wyoming. Can't get... That's all he needs is for WAS. He's got most of the rest of the world. I went, well, then maybe you gotta just break out the microphone and plug it in and call them. I haven't heard from anybody that's worked anybody in those two states. Probably because they're all on the air with their microphones or their key, but not on a computer.
Well, I like FT8 because it's a lot of activity. You know, it's a popular thing, so it's kind of nice to be able to get anybody there. But I'm not really too much of a fan for it. It's nice because it's relatively well. I guess you're not supposed to. The purpose is supposed to be low transmit power, but you can do fairly well with it. So that's kind of one thing I like about it. But I'm not really too keen on the idea that it's really just quick signal report, and then that's it. Not really any chance for any type of QSO or to find out more of what type of antenna, anything like that. So it's a little bit dry for me on that. It all depends. I say I do a lot of contesting with kind of the same thing. It's really then just not even a name. It's really just a signal report and call sign, and off you go. But I would like to get, we got a couple Whisper desktop radios that they're going to be about putting out, vertical just for them. That way I can just do it just for catching propagation. And that'll be something else I'll do. Get it all displayed on, I forgot which one's closed down now, but it's Cam Desktop, I think is one of them. So, I have to start doing that so I can have them all displayed, but... Yeah, I'm not really too crazy about FT8, And I know some people, I don't really know how to do it, so I'm not really too concerned about it. But I know some people have it set up so that they can just do it automatically, so that way you can recognize the call sign, send your report, and then log it. So that doesn't really seem like a whole lot of fun to me, really. But, well, Chris, I'm going to probably listen out for your return here, and I'm going to run out here, and I'm going to go grab some dinner here. I'm going to be lazy today, just run in here and grab some Jersey plates. So I'll listen on out for you, Chris. W-8-R-I-T.
I missed you at the swap Saturday, but it was good. The Livonia swap. There's a lot of them out there. I mean, whatever you want to get into it. The radios are pretty much price the same, but you got to get a registry number for each one of them that you get into. It'd be nice if they had one registry number and it covered everything, but it doesn't work that way. I had two registry numbers on DMR, and I got one on D-Star. I had one on P25. And then come to find out, you didn't need one on P25. Well, doggone. But I would imagine if you, same thing would be as for Fusion and everything else. Right now, when I get on D-Star, when I key the microphone, my radio identifies for me. And I mean in voice. Digital voice comes out and it says W-I-8-X. And whoever's out there, they know I'm out there. And if I key the mic several times, it's like sending a CQ. And or else I get on to say CQ, you know. And the contacts are always good. But, and then if you get on a reflector, like I hang out on reflector 66 Delta, which is somewhere along Route 66, I talk to the whole world on that reflector. But I keep the tabs with Russ, who used to be N8MYO, he's now N4RTV, lives in Lakeland, Florida. Steve, N8FM, who used to be NHAVN at one time. And we act on that reflector all the time. And it's great. Made some new friends down in Florida, down there, and the poor guys there, they got cold weather down there. Right now, it's probably warmer than it is here, but it's still cold to them. I mean, once the temperature gets to down below 75, they're lighting their furnaces. I know we think it's crazy, but that's what they're, you know, their blood is thicker than ours, you know, or thinner than ours, and that's what they're used to. But yeah, I got to sign out too because I got to go make some dinner and that. I got a club meeting to go to tonight, and the guy that's going to give me a ride is coming by at 6:30. So 7:30, Dave. Take care. I hope you make a decision. It's no rush. WI.
KE8ZKC Mobile. KE8ZKC Mobile.
Connected to CMN Network.
KE8ZKC.
KCKJO. KCKJO, how am I sounding today? I'm on the Richmond repeater.
Yeah, I missed the first part of that because my B channel decided to talk when I didn't realize it was on. But, yeah, name is Joey. I'm on the Durand repeater right now, just cruising through, heading back to Owasso. How are you doing today?
Doing all right. Just got off the phone with a distributor for my Yaesu and got to get another mic because one of the wires is kind of sketchy in it. So getting that replaced on my way home to Memphis. So I'm over here off the Richmond repeater over here by Port Huron.
Yeah, not bad at all. Didn't know there was a repeater up there. Hindsight should have known about it, but didn't think about it. But, yeah. Let's see here. You use your radio mobile. Let's see here. You're running a 300 or a 550 in the car there.
No, it's the 310 DRASP, and ordered it back in December, and all of a sudden I'm talking today, and I kept dropping the transmit. I'm like, what's going on? So I looked at it, and I'm like, oh, there's a little nick in the wire inside the jack. So called the shipper where I ordered it from and just ordered a new mic, and then I'm going to get a hold of Yaesu and tell him, hey, your mic broke on me, and it's only 2 months old. What the hey?
Yeah, it's easy. It's a 50-50 chance that they'll do something or do nothing. Most of the time they do something. But, I've had good luck with Yaesu. I got 200 right now I'm using. The main issue I had was the mount, the actual radio mount came broke. They took care of it pretty quick. But I've had pretty good luck with them.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I love this thing. Just that for some reason, it just
broke a little earlier than expected. So, all right, I got to jump. I got to make a phone call and then make another phone call. So I'll be back out in a bit. But great talking to you. My name is Tom Tango Oscar Mike. Call sign of Kilo Charlie 8 Kilo Juliet Oscar. Or KC as in Kansas City 8 Cujo KJO.
Hey, Tom 73 88 ZKC.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Yep.
WAP. Got your call sign, Dave, but right at the squelch. We're gonna have to try it later, buddy.
Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
W8FU.
H-N-K-E-W-J.
Hello, Rick. What's happening? Just out and about here, going to pick up some chicken shack. And I started watching that darn video, and then I got sidetracked. They turned it off, and I haven't come back to it yet. An impressive gun, though.
Pretty good time there. And I'm just sitting around checking out YouTube videos and getting ready to head for some ice cream.
When you say head for some ice cream, you mean just head to the freezer or go someplace?
Oh, no, I got plenty in the freezer. That's, I always keep always keep it in there.
Yeah, Roger.
I do like ice cream. That's one of the things I miss the most about having to watch. I still have a little now and again. I'm careful about it and whatnot. But, I'm not big on sweets or cakes or cookies or candies or anything like that, but do like some ice cream now and again. I have been, I know it ain't the same, not even close, but I have got these sugar-free popsicles that I keep usually in the freezer, and often one of those will, kind of be enough. I can do one of those anytime, because they're sugar-free, but still got to have the ice cream every now and then, because it's just a whole different thing.
Yes, sir, I know what you mean. I tried the sugar-free popsicles, too, there for a while, and they were okay. But I got to have my ice cream. It's a nightly thing. It's something I look forward to every night. Usually, those little, they're not pints anymore. They made them even smaller, but they're a little under a pint of those Haagen-Dazs ice cream. Either pistachio or, vanilla bean.
You're connected.
Oh, man, two of my favorites. Heck yeah. So, I got a little vanilla in the fridge right now, vanilla bean. And I think there's some, my wife is a big fan of, the Death by Chocolate kind of stuff. I think there's a tub of Eddie's Death by Chocolate of some sort. I don't even keep track. But there's also a Breyers, I think, vanilla bean in there. Well, it's been in there a while, though. I'll have to check and make sure it didn't get burnt, freezer burned. Anyhow, I am just pulling up here at Chicken Shack. I'm going to run inside. My order should be ready, and then I'll be back out here in a moment if you're still here. W8FU after yours.
Okay, I'll still be around. Imagine there, and I got, this time I got some Heath Klondike bars. I kind of like to chew on those every once in a while also. Catch you later, K-A-W-J.
Got me chicken. Smells good.
I made the mistake of firing up another gun law video there. I shouldn't have done that.
Well, what are they saying?
Oh, it's about the states that are ignoring the Supreme Court rulings there and attacking assault weapons. If you got anything with a threaded barrel, it's an assault weapon. If it's got a pistol grip, it's an assault weapon. If it has a detachable magazine, it's an assault weapon. it's utterly ridiculous there. But big money fines, and it could be up to a 10-year felony for some of it.
You know, it cost me a couple of bucks, but I tax stamped two of my lowers. And so, I can have any length barrel, threaded, anything like that. I can have all that. So I would hope that if something like that were to come to pass, I'd be able to, keep all that stuff because of my SBR lowers.
Yes, sir. That's a good move. They also mentioned something about the grandfather clause. Only apparently it's slightly different than it used to be, but apparently if you already own one previous to a certain date, which I think both of us are probably safe there, it's grandfathered, but only at your home, your yard or property kind of thing, your business, if you have a business kind of thing, or at the ranges, or on the way there or back, and nothing else. You can't sell them. You can't give them to other family members. You can't transfer them. it's ridiculous.
I ran into that with the SBRs, and I set up a trust And so my son and I are on the trust. We're both members, and all my stuff belongs to the trust. So if anything happens to me, you know, he just rightfully becomes the owner, and there's no transfer or anything like that. I don't know if he later be able to add, like, you know, his son or to the trust and continue it along. I don't know. It was designed, and I thought you could, but at least I got it covered out to that point. But I have things in there that had to be in the trust, and then I said, what the hell, and I put the rest of the stuff in the trust as well, you know, that kind of stuff. I've got a couple of, you know, just regular old 6921s, you know, and one in the box, never fired, you know, so I was just kind of hedging my bets there with that one. But, you know, there's nothing about that that makes it class 3 or anything like that, but I threw it in the trust anyhow.
Yeah, I have a little note here. It says NFA Gun Trust. I was intending to look into that because I planned on, I don't have a whole lot, but I planned on giving it to my great-nephew there. Hopefully get him going on hunting and fishing and shooting and that kind of thing, and hopefully he stays out of trouble, you know what I mean, that kind of thing. And I did anyway. Well, it was once when I lived in Roseville, I almost got permanently thrown out of grade school. I was in trouble all the time. We moved out to the country. I started hunting and fishing, and I was a good boy pretty much most of my life after that. So anyway, I figured it. I'd leave some of it to him there, but it turns out that we're going to need the gun trust, I guess, if we're going to do that.
You know, it might hedge your bet, you know, and they got that place 99 Gun Trust, and usually they throw a sale on it so you can get one done up, that they legally hold water, you know, and it's not that big a deal, so, yeah, look into it. Anywho, I just pulled up in the driveway. I'm going to get in with the eats while they're hot, and, it sounds like sports, you know, the outdoors and that stuff found an outlet for your energy. All right, I'll catch you in a bit, possibly from inside. W8FU.
Okay, Sean, have a good one there and a good dinner there. We'll catch you later. Always good to catch up with you. Maybe catch you in the morning. T8WJ, I'll be clear.
K-8-W-O-J, B-A-3-S-D-Q.
Yeah, it's one of our friends across the river. Go ahead. Good evening.
Yeah, I haven't heard you in a while. I've got to give you a name because it's been a while. This is Terry over here in Windsor. I got another call sign. You know me probably as V-E-3-T-M-G. But I got another call that I'm using on VHF UHF. I'll save the other one for HF. But anyway, nice to hear you. I haven't heard you in a while.
Yes, sir. You too. I recognize the voice now. How's Daisy, I think it was.
Man, you got a good memory. She's good. I don't know where she is. She might be sleeping in her tree. I haven't seen her in a bit. That's unusual, but... she got locked out on the balcony, well, this is probably a month ago, maybe. Luckily, it was fairly warm. We had to go to the grocery store, and we went to the one close to the house. And she goes out with the wife, she has to smoke. And this is really cold like it is now, she won't. But sometimes she shoots out there to watch the pigeons and stuff. And, well, she was out there when the wife's having a smoke, and she didn't realize it. Wife came in, shut the door, and... We took off to grab a couple things, came home, and she's at the door like, what the hell did you do to me? She was not happy.
Yeah, yeah, especially that cold. Well, yeah, well, my little guys are on it. Oh, yeah, he's napping on the bed there. He's not little anymore. Man, they grow up quick. He's a monster now. We were calling him Little Guy for a long time, but I changed his name to Rambo. He sure likes tearing me up.
Yeah, mine goes up once in a while. She's still pretty small, though. She's not going to get any bigger. And now I see where she is. She's lying on top of the couch. The heat vent or exchange is right behind the couch, of course, on the floor. And I couldn't figure out why she was laid up there. And the wife figured it out, because she can feel the heat. She does not like the cold at all. And she'll lay out in the balcony, though. Sun beating down, it could be 90 degrees, she don't care. She's a heat monger and doesn't like winter at all.
Yeah, we got one here the same way. They don't go out at all, but she lays right on the, we got forced air heat, and she lays right on the vent. Looks right down on top of one. And when she's not on there, on one of those, my sister's got a laptop she keeps plugged in and going most of the time, and that thing's nice and warm, so she lays down on top of that thing.
Yeah, they're funny. My dog, we had to put him down a month or two before he moved here, unfortunately. And he was the same way. He would lay right on the heat. We had forced air there. Here it's all electrical, right? Apartment building. She can't do that. But he would lay right on the heat vent. And same thing with him. He'd go outside and 90 degrees, didn't care, lay in the sun. But man, he would always wrap himself up in a blanket. Even in 80 degrees, he'd wrap himself in a blanket, even in the summer. But especially in the winter, he would wrap him up. I swear this cat's a reincarnation of him.
Yeah, they're a ball. The mother of the cat I got here with me, she's feral, and she does not trust anyone or anything except me. And so I spend about 3 hours a day out there with her, twice a day feeding her. And, man, they are characters, I'll tell you. we've had them for a long time, ever since, like, it was about, I'm thinking, end of grade school, beginning of junior high or something. The family always seemed to have cats.
Very good on that feral one. Well, I'm surprised she, or he, trusts you. That's good. Making sure he gets fed and kind of thing. Once they're feral, you can bring them back, but it takes a lot. And sometimes you can, no matter what. But glad you're taking care of it. I like all animals. Kind of prefer dogs because you don't got to do anything. They love you. Cats pick who they like. My wife is still ticked to this. She wanted a cat. I really didn't want any more animals. Finally gave in, and so she got this cat from a rescue. She wasn't a kitten, but she, you know what I mean? She was still a kitten. And she hid for the first day and a half, 2 days, and then the wife was up in the penthouse playing euchre, and she decided to come out finally. And walked around and eventually jumped up on my lap. And she very, very rarely will jump up on the wife's lap. And just been the past 8 months, and we've had her for a couple of years. She lets the wife pet her. And so she picked me, and the wife is not happy.
Yeah, it's funny how they do that. When I was growing up there, we had, I think, six cats or something like that, and they were all strays that we'd had, you know, we just found somewhere and, as kittens and took them in kind of thing, and they were awesome. I mean, you know, they all have all different personalities, I'm hooked. They've got me trained pretty good.
Oh yeah, so does she. And I play fetch with her, a little mouse, and every now and again, well, quite often, she's, you know, cats are kind of jumpy. You know, when she's in a certain mood, she'll be walking by, and I'll just move my foot real quick. And I swear she jumps 5 foot in the air, funnier than hell. But she gets me back. I'll be sitting there, and she'll sneak attack me. So it's a give and take.
Yeah, I like that when mine does that. He'll hide somewhere, and I'll be headed off to the fridge or something, and all of a sudden, bam, I get smacked in the rear from him as he runs by kind of laughing. You're like, come on, catch me, I dare you.
Yeah, we, I can walk around the kitchen when you walk through a hallway, so there's a circle, and here's Ruby in here, and we'll take each other around. The wife just says, you're nuts. Am I making the machine okay? I don't even know where this thing is. I've got it in all my scanners and everything. It's full scale. But like I say, I don't know where it is. Am I okay?
Boy, heck yeah, you're loud and clear. I mean, you sound like you're in my driveway.
Okay, and the guy you're talking to, Sean, he's the owner, right? Or am I mistaken?
Well, if you're on the KC8LTS in the trade, there's another fellow that owns that. But they're linked into Sean's system. The FBI's, but he's got, I think, four or five repeaters in the area, and that's and those are linked together, and then those are linked into Central Michigan, which goes out through the, you know, middle of Michigan kind of thing, and even on up into Mackinac.
Okay, well, I know Sean owns some of them. Well, I'm on the 175, but I have the .600 in, and they're both the same. I hit scan, I stopped here. Then when you guys paused and scanned again, I ended up on the 600, but I stopped it here. So I think this might be the one downtown, but they're both full scale. I can't really, there's no difference in signal between the two.
Yeah, you're sounding better than folks that are a lot closer to me. But then again, you're not that far from the repeater, I don't think. And I keep meaning, you know, I had to go down and renew a driver's license there, and I wanted to get the enhanced one because I'm dying in the spring and the summer to get over in front of your place there and fish some walleye in the river. But I didn't have a passport or a birth certificate with me, so I couldn't get the enhanced the license there to get across the border. From what I understand, it's kind of easy getting over to your side, but it's kind of a pain, real pain to try to get back home.
Well, I guess it can be. It depends. Even way before they needed a passport, I used to cross. And it just, well, make it a little worse today, but even back then, man, you get a border guard that is having a bad day, and he just was an a-hole on both sides. And I ran into a couple of them. Most of them were pretty good. But I ran into a couple of them, and I just thinking, man, what's the matter? Your wife not giving you any last time? I never said that, because, man, I know what would happen if I did. But I was thinking it.
Yeah. Yeah, all of my trips into Canada have been pretty gravy, except for one. I spent two summers in Mississauga there, right outside of Toronto. They're installing some robotic door lines. And late Sunday night, I was headed back there. A couple other guys from the company were headed around the same time there. We crossed at Sarnia there, Port Huron. And they just started picking people to pull over and search the cars and all that. We even had a couple of old ladies that were searching the car for drugs. But anyway, they put us in a little holding kind of cell area there, and I laid down and started taking a nap. And the guys I was with, that happened to be there at the same time, they were complaining and whining and crying. I'm like, man, what's the matter with you? It's Sunday. This is overtime. We're getting paid for this, sitting here. We can sit here all night and sleep, and we get paid for it. You know, they're doing us a favor. And now they were kind of like, oh, well, yeah, all right, I guess so kind of thing, you know. So I didn't really care. They could get me there all night as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, if you're getting paid, I mean, yeah, that's a bonus. I mean, if you're not getting paid and you're tired and you wanted to get home, I could be, you know, tick you off. But you can't do anything about it anyway. You basically got to just deal with it. And it was always, hey, if I'm not doing anything illegal, they can ask a million questions. I'm going to answer them the same way because they got nothing to lie about. Eventually, they all let me through. Not to happen once or twice, but when I used to cross all the time, I still have long hair. But, of course, I was in my 20s, early 30s, long hair. And, you know, they looked at me, you know what they were thinking. So every now and again, I'd get a guy that liked to harass me. But, you know, clean record, and, never had anything with me, so I had no problem. I just answered the dumb questions, and eventually I was on my way.
Yeah, I was at a big intersection at the corner, the northeast corner, or northwest corner of the airport there in Toronto. And it was dark, and I was making a left turn, and I make the left turn, and all of a sudden there's this cop standing in the middle of the road, waving his arms, trying to stop me kind of thing. I'm like, where'd you come from? So he pointed over to this parking lot over in the strip mall kind of thing. I pull over there kind of thing. I almost ran him over. I was kind of chewing him up, scaring the crap out of me kind of thing. And I didn't realize it, but I guess you guys got to have plates on the front and the back of your vehicle. And here in Michigan, we just need one on the back. So he was wanting to know why I was breaking the law there. And I says, well, we don't need it in Michigan. So, I got to go get another plate just so I can be legal while I'm here. Then I'm kind of in trouble. But he ended up, he let me off anyway.
Connected to CMN Network.
Yeah, if he was, in a patrol car, I'm sure he would have let you go by and notice the Michigan plate, and that'd be that. Certain provinces don't need to. I think Quebec is one that doesn't have a front. But when I'm out driving or something, I see a car without a plate, I'm thinking, well, it's either Michigan or Quebec. I'm not sure about any other provinces that are like that, but... okay, well, I'm going to let you go. I got a Fusionet locally here starting up in 5 minutes, so I want to check into that real quick and see if I can find something on the booth, too. But, hey, nice to hear you. Yeah, I hadn't heard you in a while. You sound like you're in good health and spirit, so that's good. I've been doing okay. You can't wait till spring. I didn't expect this three-quarter of an inch we got last night. I think it was about three. It might have been an inch even. I'm not sure. Finally got rid of all that, and then we got another one. And now, I guess, another few days, we're going to get a little bit more. But, hey, still February. But I like it when we had, a week and a half of 40s and even mid-50s. I loved it. I had the damn heat off because it gets hot up there. I had the patio door almost wide open and sitting in here, nothing but shorts, no shirt, and I loved it. Now I'm back with the heat on, the door shut, and now I got to wear a shirt. I don't like it. Have a good one. 73 from VA3SDQ.
Okay, Kerry, good to hear from you, too. You take care. And it always could be worse, like New York. I got an email from a camera place, an optics place in New York there, and they're closed. They were closed down today. Apparently, I don't know if it was the state or the city, ordered everybody to stay home and stay off the streets. No non-essential personnel or vehicles on any of the streets. I guess it's pretty bad over there, so... it could always be worse, I guess. But anyway, have a good one. We'll catch you later. Good to hear from you. KEWOJ.
You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network.